Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, okie dokie, it's Rick and Rollo, but Rick's not here quite yet, but I'm here with Ab, and I'm here with Johnny's List. Hello. It's Saturday the 5th of June, 2021. G'day, Ab, how are you doing?
I'm well, Rollo, nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you. And Johnny's List?
I'm good.
Alright. Yes, so it is Saturday the 5th of June, 2021. Rick and Rollo, Rick will be here, I know I... but I've had a couple of vodka and you would think Red Bulls, but Mothers tonight because I'm on the Australian, version tonight. Ab, tell us about your week.
Well, I went to the bank and I took your piece of your huge donation that you made last year, and we're so grateful for you and your generosity. And you gave me $100 green Australian bill as part of the cash. And by the way, I'm going to close that mailbox because nobody uses it except you, and it costs me $250 a year. So I'm going to have to close it because we have two missing donations as well. So that's enough of that, I guess, for now.
Yep.
And anyway, they converted your $100. It's only 89 Canadian. So I suppose our dollar, either that or... our dollar's more valuable than yours, either that or they nip you with the exchange, which is probably a bit of both.
I'm just so sad that you had to use it. I wanted you to frame it and put it on your wall.
I got too many things
emergency
on my wall.
Yeah, in case of emergency, break glass. That's it, Johnny. Yeah.
You know, the only time it would be useful is if I went to Australia. And I have a funny feeling I'm never going to Australia, so...
What's the point? It's just
unless
a hot
you guys
Canada.
Take over Canada.
It's just a hot version of Canada.
Yeah. Oh, introduce Johnny's List. Introduce Johnny's List properly. Come on.
No.
All right, Johnny's List, how's your week been, man?
You didn't introduce him.
I did.
G'day, Johnny's List. Welcome to Rick and Rollo without Rick. You're right, man. How's your week been?
Same shit, different day. It's a plumber thing.
Yeah.
But anyway,
same shit, different smell.
Putting out the whole thing with the fines and everything for the not signing in and the QR code and that.
And,
there's a fine
like,
for
that?
We spoke
about this last week. That's the new thing. They're going to get fined $1,600, blah, blah, blah. And then I went into a shop that I go into, and this guy, we've had debates, almost arguments before, but he thinks the thing's real and blah, blah, blah. He's telling me people at the supermarket have been fined and at the chemist have been fined, and I'm just going, okay.
Oh, brother.
And that, and then, but I went to the supermarket on Friday. I was trying to get there early because I wanted to, and I asked the girl at the checkout, and I mean, she wasn't the sharpest tool, but she said, she goes, no, she goes, you can get fined, but I haven't heard of anyone getting fined here. Like, you know, so I'm planning on going back there and going to the chemist next week and ask them, because someone's obviously spreading disinformation, because She said she hadn't heard of anybody getting fined. And this is a country town. Like, if somebody got fined, everybody in the store would know, and, you know.
Sure.
Like, but, yeah, so, because I was a bit disappointed. But she's going to me. She's going, oh, yeah, the police can find you. They can go through the register and check who signed in. And I said, oh, yeah. Because I was trying to, you know, I'm sort of pretending I was trying
to. Yeah, it's all fear
that,
tactics. It's a,
But she said, but who are these people, if she's right and nobody's been fined, then somebody's going around spreading, you know, just like the cops do. They spread this information. You know.
Well, during the week, I've been watching, RV Emini is really ramping up, you know, the Rebel News guy. And down in Melbourne, they're just, the cops down there they're out of control.
I did see that. I posted in the live chat notes for Liability Mate, and that they Yeah, it's got some of RVM and his stuff in it, and then an interview with Dale H and Max Egan and that talking about it and that. So,
am I coming over?
I've got a... Oh, g'day, Rick. Right. How you doing?
Am I coming out all clear?
Yeah, you're clear as a bell, mate.
Excellent. All right, keep talking.
So, how is he? Come on, let's ask Rick about his week. I already know. His Hyundai.
Tell us about your Hyundai. I'm just organising a few things. Finish what you were talking about, and I'll come back. I'll just mute.
Wait, well, we're talking about RVM and we're talking about Melbourne, and the cops are just out of control down there, what they're doing.
Do you reckon? I don't think they're behaving. I think they are like federal police, the way that they are. They're these, unless they've recruited a whole different breed, and, you know, like, they just don't seem to be the same. They just seem to be like council workers, you know, not council, they're like librarians, you know. They're not intimidating, they're just these, in numbers they are, I guess, but physically, one-on-one, you just push them over with your finger, you know, if you're...
They're not the kind of cops,
because, you know, Victoria had a real heavy crime scene back in the day, you know, with Chopper Reed and all that crew.
These aren't
the kind of cops that you imagine tangling with a... career criminal, you know, that would pull a gun out and smash you over the head with it before he shot you. These are like parking police cop type of cops, you know. They're handing out directions and...
Hold the phone, mate.
You're listening.
Yeah, ring and roll.
Walking around, got the
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, it's Saturday the... Thank you, Media Beth. Yeah, Saturday the 5th of June. We're into June already. And 2021, here we are with me, Rick and Rollo, and Jay, Johnny's List and Fakeologist. So, come on, tell us about your Hyundai. It's an awesome story. I mean, my God.
Well, I'll go back to the beginning. So, I needed to get a vehicle because I've spent, you know, enough. I could have bought a new car with the amount of money I've spent on renting a car over the last 19 months, I think it's been. And I just procrastinated all the time because I wanted to buy a new car, and there are no... The kind of cars I wanted, there are no new ones. The same thing's going on in America as well, I believe. So second-hand cars have gone up in price, and new cars, like the Toyota Ute, the twin cab diesel, you can't buy. There's none. And I wouldn't have minded one of them. I also wanted a brand new Hyundai van iLoad, and they're not going to come out for another 4 months. And I was arming and ahhing, and I said, asked creator. I said, I need a sign. What do I? Because I was just about to go and pay $57,000 for a new. But what you? It's the Isuzu, Mazda badged Isuzu. You'd know about Utes, wouldn't you, Johnny's List?
Yeah, the B. B. Yeah, I know the one.
It was Isuzu. I owned one.
Yeah.
I had the Holden badged one, the Rodeo, you know, which was a...
Yeah. Isn't Ford and Mazda the same, I think? But I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's Ford and Mazda have got both owned Isuzu.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, no, I know about Ford, but certainly Mazda and someone else have got Isuzu. So anyway, I went there. The guy had... He had the only ute between here and Sydney almost. Because he bought 60 of them last year before the and he still had six left, and it was $57,000 drive away with a bull bar, you know, like the $3,000 bull bar on it. But and I was thinking,
call it up.
I knew, and then next thing you know, I don't know what that is. In a stranger.
You're right.
Anyway, I was
COVID-19,
going.
What do I do?
What do I do? Next thing you know, my flatmate rang and he said, oh good. We're going to move out of the flat that he's in. He wants to move into a bigger one, and it's going to cost me more money. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm trying to not spend money in Sydney on accommodation. So that was a sign. I said, man, that means you've got to buy a ute. Anyway, so I looked at the only place that had a van. I need to buy a van. And so the only one that had one that I wanted was the dealership that I bought my last vehicle from, which I vowed I will never darken their doorsteps ever again because I had such a bad time with buying a second-hand vehicle from them. Anyway, I was driving on. I thought, I'll just go and have a look at it. And it was exactly what I wanted. So I walked into the sales office. And I said, look, man, I never would have come back here again. But and there's a new manager there anyway. And he said, oh, look, we'll come for a drive and we'll take it for a spin. Anyway, so I said, okay, cool. I jumped in the passenger seat. We're driving up the road and we're talking about our... He goes, oh, I've got bad... I can't have a coffee. We're talking about coffee. And he said, I can't drink coffee because I've got bad digestion. I've got to go and get the cameras done. And I said, man, I've got the same problem, man. I know exactly what you're on about. I've had that, blah, blah, blah. Next thing he turned around, he goes, so what do you reckon about COVID? And I went, fake. And he went, awesome. And he goes, I'm not fucking taking that vaccine. I'm not taking that vaccine. He goes, they can go get fucked. And I said, fantastic. I said, man, it's unbelievable to hear someone saying that. And he goes, what else? You're internally texting another guy telling me about no planes. No,
oh,
out of this building.
Oh, 9/11.
And all the 9/11 stuff. Plus, he knew, and he studies astrophysiology and astrotheology. When we were back at the, and I said, as we were driving, I said, man, you got to fucking sail, man. I said, I don't care what. Like, you can just
he's just the best salesman in the world. He can just adjust.
No, He was the one that asked me about COVID, not me asking him. And then he read your mind. He goes, what shapes the earth? He goes, and I said, oh, look, I'm agnostic about it. He goes, it's flat, isn't it? And I went, yeah, probably. And anyway, when we were back at the office, when we were meant to be discussing signing the finance, he was drawing me diagrams because I said, we're talking about I'm on about car badges all having the same, you know, kind of a satanic or the Saturnian thing. He drew the Holden one and did all these and showed me the patterns and the angles. He said, it's a 50-year-old Holden logo. He said, it's a symbol of Leo with Saturn in it. And I was like, fuck, you know, like, I couldn't believe this guy knew
man,
more than me.
Dude, you need to get him on the show.
Oh, and he's tall.
Get him on the show.
Anyway, oh, yeah, you know, he probably will because he goes, give me a list of stuff to listen to. So I gave him some stuff. He listens to...
Big11.com/Discord. Yeah. Give him a link.
I've already done it, and he's already done it. And anyway, so today I had to... I agreed to buy the car, so I had to fly back. I had to take my hire car back and then get on a plane this morning.
This is a great story. Hey, guys, this is a great story. I love this story.
Yeah. So anyway, Sydney is mask-free to me, right? And I thought, oh, this is cool. I jumped on a bus. No one had a mask on, got off, got on a train, thought I was going to see Velocette somewhere, no one had a mask on, got to the airport and I saw the sign, mandatory mask, I thought, nah, surely, you know. I looked around and it would be 94-95% mask in there and I didn't even try and put one on. So I walked through and the lady was fantastic, like I had an e-ticket, so she did the e-ticket. Went through, got into the second wave after you've got to take your bags through. It's like going through international now, just for local travel. So you have to, you know, put your bags through the bomb thing and go through the buzzers. And I got through, and it would have been 98% masked up behind where all the food courts are, but everyone sitting down eating had no masks on. So the ludicrous.
How do they get it through the mask?
Exactly, but I mean, what's the point of telling everyone to wear masks if you can sit down and all the
and in the food court, all the tables are right next to each other.
Right? Yeah,
where you eat.
We know there's no logic. Yeah. Where were you flying to?
So anyway, so I got to up to Port Macquarie from Sydney.
Okay.
And it's cheap. It's fantastic. Look, I mean, I don't want to go through this again, but anyway.
What kind of plane are you flying? It's small.
It's very small. I'm with two propellers. About 25 people in it, maybe. I think 50-seater, maybe.
You got an airport at Port Macquarie?
Rollo. Shush.
Mm.
So I got on the, I had to go through the, the gates to go through there. And the woman said, she looked up, she goes, oh, you've got to put a mask on. And I said, no, I've got an exemption. And she goes, well, can you just carry it anyway, like put it in your hand? So I walked through and everyone's got masks on. They all kind of, I don't know if anyone's got staring at me, but I felt like they were. And I got on.
They would have been. They would have been going, what? Why doesn't he have one on? It's not red, fair.
Yeah, he's independent. Yeah. He's independent. Yeah. Anyway, so I sat down. Then the air hostess came up because I was sitting on that. They gave me a great seat, right, so it was by myself right near the exit. And there's not much leg room in those things. Anyway, she came up and she goes, look, can you put the mask on? And I said, look, I've got an exemption. And she goes, no problem whatsoever. And I said, you know, I'm allergic to carbon monoxide.
Allergic to carbon monoxide. That's funny. I did read that when you posted it earlier. I did laugh. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And there was no issue whatsoever. And I flew in. And the salesman was waiting for me when I got off the plane because he drove up from around the corner because his yard isn't far from the airport. And I said, guess who didn't have a mask on? He's like, had the two thumbs up. And we were driving there and I'm telling him, he's homeschooling his kids. He's lecturing his staff about the COVID, all the staff that come in there, because he's the boss. So, and they all think he's mad, but the guy is on it. It was just unbelievable. And that was the sign I thought, I've got to buy this, you know.
You got to do an interview with him.
He might actually change my opinion on
Man, listen, I vowed on my life I would never go back to that yard ever again.
I've the same. I've bought two brand new cars in my whole life and both bad experiences, from the car yards,
Well, this has got 100,000 Ks on. So I had to end up buying
brand new second hand. I've only dealt with a car yard twice. Bad experiences.
Well, I've had bad experiences, to be honest. But anyway, this guy, I said to him, look, are you doing the right? He said, listen, I know I sold this vehicle to the guy that had the business up the road. And he goes, I traded it to it. He said, you do the right thing. And I said, listen, you've got a sale. I trust you. And he goes, listen, I'd never rip off a truther, which I don't like the word truther, but me and him were just...
Oh, yeah, call you a truther. It's okay.
Well, you got to get a name somehow. We got to be... You should have said I'm a fakeologist.
That's right. Well, he said he woke up when he was 16. He said he knew there was something wrong. And that
16?
Would have been,
wow. 40,
and that is
43. Yeah. So I was around 14.
27
about
years.
15,
wow.
16, 16.
Yeah, but that's rare, Rick. That's rare.
But we were driving, he said he'd never heard of September Clues, but he was going on about the nose. So he'd seen the videos of the nose going through the thing, and that was what he said. As soon as he saw that, he knew there was no planes. He said very few people he's been able to talk to about that, and he's right. So because you don't bump into no planers very often. Not around.
Wow,
here,
that's
anyway.
Amazing.
I've never even watched.
Get him on the show.
I've never watched.
Yeah, I will. And he's got a good voice as well. Yeah, and he has a salesman.
Amazing, Rick. That's a great story. That is great.
So now
you never know. Hey, you never know.
Oh,
you never know.
Yeah.
Because I needed
throw a bit of faith in.
I needed to know, is this the right decision to buy it? And as soon as he started talking like that, I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Man, I'll buy that.
Because
I'll buy
even,
car.
Even to be a car salesman and be like that, because like I said, my dealings with car salesmen have been very good, but the fact that he's a car salesman...
And he lives in Port Macquarie.
He's a sales manager, so they work for him. So he actually runs
and
the whole...
And he's in Port Macquarie? He's in your hometown?
Yes. Yep.
Oh,
he's
man.
Right. And he's got two kids. Two kids, about one's 8 and one's 9 or something or other.
That's great.
What age is he?
Homeschooled.
What age is he?
43.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and,
man.
And just a nice guy. And a nice guy, too. So it was because, I mean, honestly, I'm isolated. I've got Graham. I won't say his surname. I won't mention
Graham?
His ownership, but Graham.
No.
Good bloke. Total.
I don't know why. Why can't you mention the dealership? The guy's awake. He's not hiding it. Do a plug.
Yeah, that's true.
Mossad might be listening.
Nobody's listening from Port Macquarie. Don't be afraid. We don't want to spread fear.
No. Yeah, well, it's the Kia dealership of all things. which I
yeah.
And I explained to him about Kia.
That's funny.
I explained to him about Kia. I said that logo, it's a K and the I, and the A is a pyramid. There's no cross in it, so it's 9/11/11/9 with a pyramid. And he goes, fantastic.
Good one, Rick.
Right?
I never thought of that.
It is. Well, it is. Yeah, I come up with that too. That's an exclusive.
Oh, yeah. You sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm at the blog at the moment. I'm at the blog.
Go for it, man.
Do you want to go through the blog, Ab?
Yeah, go.
No, I always want to go through the blog.
All right. Before we do that, I just want to mention a new term I heard this week is the Fauci ouchie.
Yeah, I said that.
I know. But Anthony Fauci, apparently, I was talking to Johnny's List about this earlier, about this email leak thing.
I think it's seizing him out.
I
haven't looked into it.
It's about as real as the Clinton emails.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Right,
okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Leaked
email.
33,000. 33,000 Clinton emails.
Yeah.
But the Fauci, the Fauci Ouchie one.
3,200.
Yeah.
Fauci.
The guy that I really like was David Crowe. You interviewed him twice. Yeah, you put it on the Fake O-Tube. Now, that Fake O-Tube where she interspersed David Crowe in. Tell us about
Dr.
that.
Dr. Pam Bailey, the beautiful Kiwi woman. She is really fantastic. I don't think she's controlled opposition. She's even herself addressed that she's not controlled opposition.
She's got a real Kiwi voice too. Real Kiwi voice, that one.
That's genuine. That's not fake.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's a proper Kiwi
voice. What part
voice.
Of Kiwi?
Same as yours, Rick. Same as yours.
Yeah,
she just
the whole of New Zealand speaks the same. The South Island has a more Scottishy kind of. Slightly more.
Yeah.
What
about Stewart Island? That's where our latest patron is from.
Oh,
Rod. Thank you, Rod.
Yeah, Rod's from the most exclusive island in the world.
Rod owning up to donate monthly to Fakeologist after Spike was jettisoned. How about that?
Mm. Good move then, eh?
What does that tell you?
What does that tell you?
Thank you, Rod.
I tell you what, Spike reminded me. Spike reminded me of? He reminded me so much of SMJ. His feistiness.
Well, they both had some great
other.
Arguments. I think they did. Yeah.
No, I just laugh at the name Fertilizer Spike, the phallic sort of thing with the spike and the fertilizer. You know, I'm thinking it's a bit.
Well, he changed his name about 20 times to other provocative things.
And you know what he used? He used six-inch spike up the jacksy, which is a Blackadder term. Remember Blackadder?
I remember Blackadder. That was great.
Remember his religious auntie came and she said, "We don't sit on chairs. We sit on spikes."
Exactly. The Whiteadder. They were the Whiteadder, not the Blackadder.
Yeah.
They were the Whiteadders. Hey,
for the record, I did like Spike, but he was a pain in the ass. I did like him.
I liked him too.
Literally and metaphorically.
He was such a pain. But he wasn't really a fakeologist. That's the main problem.
He was a real agitator.
Shit stirrer. Well, Rick and Rollo are those. We're shit stirrers. Now, before we get onto the blog, which I've got open on my tablet here, I just heard some news during the week, which I fucking love. We're going to get Joker Part 2. Joaquin Bottom and Todd Phillips are making Joker 2. I'm so happy about that. And that means nothing to anyone here. It has nothing to do with Fakeology, but to me it means everything.
Because
I love
Joker. That movie, Rollo, that movie was 100% predictive programming. It was preempting the whole the BLM riots and
I think you could be right there. I think you could be right. When we spoke to Noise Level, right?
He called it Burn, Loot, and Murder. Burn, Loot, and Murder is what BLM stood for. But now it means build larger mansions, because apparently the chick who runs BLM has cashed out. She's cashed out and taken the money and run.
That's a story. That's a story.
Communism for some, but not for all.
What do they say?
Have you guys ever heard of that phrase, terror of the common?
What?
Rick must have heard of that. Rick, you're the kind of well-read guy.
You were tagged on that, Al. What?
Say again?
There's a term describing, it's not really describing communism, but I guess it is sort of. It's called terror of the commons. Terror of the commons.
No, I've never heard it.
I put it on theecologist.com/blog. The dollar vigilante, he dropped that term. You know, that guy is really smart. There's no doubt about it. He comes up with things and clips. I love the guy.
Yeah, I love him. I love him too.
He couldn't remember the term either. You know how he does his videos and he says, I can't remember what it was. I'm losing brain cells, but my producer will look it up. And his producer puts it on the screen later.
Hold on.
And,
Rick and Roland.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com. Exposing
indeed
all
you
your
are.
Fakery one psyop at a time.
Oh, what
beautiful.
A voice.
Not a radio voice that guy has. Let's get him on. Anyway, there's a comment. Basically, it's just apparently land was sort of open to anyone. So if you're a farmer, you could let your animals graze on the commons, which nobody owned the commons. And they say it doesn't work because there's always one guy that screws it up for everyone, so he might get an extra sheep to start grazing. And he said, hey, now you're eating all the sheep, all the grass of the common area. So it's just...
Is this an English thing or American?
It'd be England.
I think it's English.
Okay.
English.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, all bad things
when,
and good
when
things
you talk to that, when you talk about grazing, it reminds me of the in America with the Bundys and everything, and you got the BLM there, the Bureau of Land Management, the whole grazing.
Funny that.
Right.
Just remember.
Yeah, but another
just,
BLM.
BLM is the Kabbalah way of saying Balaam, and that's one of their big gods, the baddie. Balaam.
It's funny that you mention all those ancient god and devil that are reproduced for repurposed for later usage. Because I discussed this with Babette last night, and we went over some Persian cosmology, and there is some rather fascinating connection with Christianity and many of the biggest religions. So basically, apparently everything
hey,
is
Benoit.
A rewash of
Benoit.
A rewash of a rewash.
Benoit, yeah, way to bust in. Way to bust in. How's your week been, man? How you doing?
Way to interrupt.
And then from the number one interrupter, the number one interrupter compliments you. You're in good shape.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's the way to do it. So my point was that everything that we are seeing, being in the occult or in the common denomination religion, is just a rehashing of things that are ancient legends.
And it's all from the stars.
The other thing. So if you go back, if you want to have a look at it, it's Balaam and Balak are the two opposing bad guys in the Hebrew, old Hebrew stuff. So Balaam and Balak. So you work that out. So you got BLM and Black Lives Matter. So Balak Lives Matter. Balak. Yeah, same thing.
All right, So they made the words to fit the acronym. They didn't make up BLM.
Now we've
got a crew here. Let's go to the top blog post. Now it's special propaganda for the awake. Now the Quaxinators have special needles for the awake. Another great Canadian blog. Now this, Ab, what have you written here? You
It's the governments around the world have taken something for, that's not theirs. Our freedoms, they've done it all intentionally with false pretenses. People ask, how do all the health authorities around the world depict the same sort of fear and the same sort of measures in complete unison? But the only way to implement a global psychological operation against 7 billion people simultaneously. Now, this is from Civilian Intelligence Network.ca. Tell me about this.
Well, I just learned of this guy because Ronnie from CanuckLaw.ca, CanuckLaw.ca, she said she goes to this guy's site. He's another Canadian. He's kind of busting open the power structure. He's a very good researcher. These are the real investigative journalists. They work for themselves. I don't know how they survive. They're really fantastic, and he is basically talking about Nova Scotia, which means New Scotland. It's a very small province in the east side of Ontario, of Canada. And so he specializes in his province, and he is just breaking down what his hellcrat minister has been saying and busting that open, and his premier, who is the... like the governor, and just, he does a really fantastic job. He's been on the scene for years, apparently. I just found him, and I wanted to point it out. And one of the things that Ronnie from Canuck Law was saying is the Public Health of Canada. This is an agency which is set up on top of our normal health systems. They literally dropped this agency into Canada like an invader. And I think it's even set up as a charity. It's very strange how, I'm wondering if Australia has the same agencies that literally got dropped into your country in the last 10 or 20 years. And they were dropped in like a poison pill to basically take over your country. That's what they are. The Public Health, what's it called? Public Health Canada? It's no more federal than Federal Express.
It's called another NGO, Ab. It's a non-governmental organization.
Yeah, but it's literally NGO. Dropped in, and these are the guys that have taken over your country, these hellcrats. I'm wondering if they've done
the government outsourcing.
Yeah,
no, not really. The government never had this agency before. That's the whole point. They dropped this agency in. They add Canada to the name. They add public health to the name. And it's literally a charity.
Are they an actual government
corporation.
Agency or a
no.
Non-government?
No, it's
non-government organization.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I guess that's right. Yeah, maybe that's the right word for it.
They are.
They confuse it with the government agency. That's the problem.
Because they look like they're official. They talk like they're official.
They put the word Canada in it.
Yeah. So basically, it's only if you're aware about your constitutional rights that you'll understand.
They are the aliens that have taken over your country. An alien means somebody not from your area. That's what an alien is.
That's a good analogy. Good analogy. The alien invasion.
This is the alien invasion, people, right there. And you can look up how they formed these structures and how they invaded your country. The best thing is for them to be kicked out of the country and then start over again.
Can I just bring something up interesting when we're wondering why Canada's getting such a hard time? Just remember, who was the country that kicked the technocrats out in 1933?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good point,
Rick. It was Canada. And it was, what's his name, you know, the Tesla guy. What's his name that formed Tesla?
Elon Musk.
God,
Elon Musk's
grandfather was kicked out of Canada because they discovered the technocracy agenda, their 12 points to technocracy, which is exactly the same as the new Green Deal, down to the full stop. And the apostrophe.
You're right.
So I think they're picking on Canada as revenge for what happened to
Well, I wish it was that simple. I think there's two things. One, we've got the resources that China needs, more so similar to Australia. And number two, we have a very fractured society because we don't have an identity. There's no such thing as a Canadian. That's what our Prime Minister said. He said, we don't have an identity. There's no Canadian identity.
So we're the same. We're the same here in Australia. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
No identity because we stole the land.
It sounds like a tragedy of the commons. Here we go. Jeff brings up some very interesting, Thomas, topics. This phenomenon is likely the reason is why it's difficult to get communism to work, even though with technology they're managing it. So you're talking about Jeff Berwick here, aren't you? Jeff Berwick is a fellow down in Mexico. We do like him. And do you want me to read this? In economic science, the tragedy of the commons is a situation in which an individual users who have open access to resource. Oh my God, my eyesight's failing me. I'm hammered by shared social structures.
I think it's the vodka roller.
Formal. Thank you.
Stop staring through the end of the bottle.
Hey, what's in your hand tonight, Rick?
I've had a beer.
What about you, John?
Your mic sounds good. I'm having a Guinness.
You're having a Guinness? And what about Ab doesn't drink.
Can we just
welcome Jan Eric, one of the great minds on psychology.com.
How you doing, bud?
Good night, Jan.
And later, Benoit will give us an update on the breakaway audio server. He has some information.
But you cannot get canned Guinness. I haven't been able to get it you can get it if you can go find some places to sell it, but they haven't had it for a couple of months because, you know, the little widget balls in the Guinness can?
Yeah, the widget. Because Kilkenny had the widget balls in them too.
Yes.
Kilkenny, you remember?
You can't get Guinness because they can't get the widgets anymore.
They can't get the widgets. Wow.
No,
and I can't buy a new car because I haven't got the computer parts at the moment.
Oh, they're playing that game there.
So anyway, Jan Eric's unmuted.
He is up 40%.
Jan Eric's unmuted.
He's up 40% Canada.
Jan, are you there? Are you there, Jan?
Hello.
He is up.
Yay! Gotcha.
Jan Eric from Norway. The belly of the beast.
No, and he's got a new microphone, but maybe he hasn't got it plugged in because it's not coming out.
The wife told me that bacon is up 40% this week.
Wow. Well, have we discussed the Klaus Schwab the shutdown of the big meat producer?
JBS.
Do you know I've got a new nickname for him? I call him Cruella Klaus. Cruella.
Jeff calls
you know
him
what?
Satan Claus.
He's a cruel
bastard. I like Satan Claus better.
All right,
Satan Claus,
okay.
Brilliant. Oh, I love it.
Isn't it funny though, but it's attacking the meat industry, you know? It's just, yeah.
Because if anyone's going to do a shutting down an industry, why wouldn't they do weapons manufacturing?
Yeah.
Or something nasty, you know?
Why is no one attacking the tax administration? It makes no sense.
That's the first target
everyone should have.
Yeah.
All he wants us to do is eat crickets and bugs. Crickets and bugs. I've read that.
Why wouldn't they suggest he never eat
a cricket of his life? That's just for us. Not for him.
He'll be having organic.
He thinks we're cockroaches.
What is that French delicacy where the elite eat that rare French bird? They pop it in their mouth. That's apparently Mitterrand ate that. I think we talked about it.
That would be a coquelet, which is kind of coquelet. A chicken, but...
No,
but,
you're talking about... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Spatchcock. Spatchcock. Spatchcock, we call it in Australia.
Yeah.
It's a tiny, small chicken. Yeah,
crickets and bugs. They think of us as cockroaches. That's all we are.
They want us to eat cockroaches. They want us to eat cockroaches.
No, they want us to eat them ourselves. Like, hey,
Rollo, just be quiet for a sec. See if we can get Jan Eriks to...
Oh, yeah, hold on. Give me a sec. Jan?
Because I can't hear him.
There we go. I haven't got administration duties anymore. They've been taken away from me.
Really? Did you ever have them?
Yeah,
I had them one day.
Well, you know, Jan, if Jan Erik can hear us, his mic's, it's not lighting up at all, so his mic's possibly not, but he's unmuted, but his mic's not registering.
Okay.
If you allow me, I want to play a very short clip.
Yeah, play anything you want. Do it.
They're making our food for people. Next thing, they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You've got to tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You got to tell them. Silent breed is people. You got to stop them.
It's over. It was over.
Yeah,
that was my main man from Planet of the Apes. Charlton Heston. That's
What other PSYOP movie did he produce? He was, remember when he goes, "Damn you! They've destroyed the Planet of the Apes." When he goes, he looked up at
Charlton Heston in 1973 shot one of my favorite movie ever, Omega Man. And in that movie,
Omega Man is about a disease, a virus.
Yes, the more interesting thing about the movie is that at one point, Charlton Heston is kissing a black woman, and that was a thing back in the day, for someone to Charlton Heston to do that in a movie. Even if the movie is situated in the future of dystopian world. I based my life on that.
Well, so did Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk and Uhura kissed as well.
Yes.
That was the first iteration.
Hey, Benoit, how long is it going to be till you kiss Skylarkin on the lips?
Oh. Rollo.
Stop encouraging.
It's going to happen soon.
Time for the cheese to act.
You might be on the cheese.
As soon as the cheese is acting.
One of the second women I ever made love with was a black woman. Fully black woman, yeah.
And you survived, apparently.
I did, well.
He got a head injury.
Oh, thank you, mate. All right, okay, we're going to move on with the blog. Where are we going next?
Go for it.
Institute for Pandemics. Why this will never end, especially for Toronto. Remember those conspiracy nuts that was saying was never going to end? The University of Toronto Institute for Pandemics was launched in 2020. It hosts many of the same players in Dalla Land School of Public Health, the Ontario Science Table, such as the Albertine Brown, David Fishman, Colin Furness. Fun fact. University of Toronto has several registered charities tied to its name, much more than later. Now, what's that? Much more than later. COVID-19, SARS, and the other urgent health threats began in animals. It's time to drop misleading distinctions between human and animal health. Our underpinning, and this is in quotes, one health...
Give me a minute.
Approach considers human, animal, and environmental health together. Now, this is from canucklaw.ca. Yeah, so that sounds good to me. I mean, have a go at this. I mean, the ouchie Fauci. Now, I looked at that video where Uncle Odd last week was talking about where they stick the needle in and the magnet stick. They look real to me. What did you guys think of that?
I haven't seen them.
Can I just say that I've heard some really leading skeptics, and I'll say the number one, Marcus Allen, Number two, no, he's not a skeptic. The old Big Tree, they've all been right on the top of it, saying it's real.
Mm.
So what are you?
I mentioned it to the apprentice at work about. He goes, oh yeah, he goes, I've seen these videos. They're all over the place. Like yeah, he goes, yeah, like so. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, where the magnet sticks to the skin. Yeah. Where the Fauci ouchie enters your, you know, when you get the jab, suppose. Yeah.
Don't you reckon, wouldn't you say Marcus Allen would be the world's leading skeptic? I reckon he is the world's leading skeptic. No, he says he is, but I reckon Marcus.
Rick and Roller. Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Plate.
So what do
you do now? Really quick.
The Asarian.
Psyoptica.
For science.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Indeed you are. It's Saturday the 5th of June, 2021. You're here with Rick and Rollo and...
Johnny Chris.
Johnny. Yeah.
Ben Wild, psychologist, and Jan Eric.
Managed to get his mic opened up yet?
No, but anyone that isn't good at interrupting will never survive. You've got to just suddenly start talking, otherwise no one's going to get a word in, especially with this one.
Rick, why is your mic good tonight? What's happened?
Because I'm not using an Apple.
He's lighting up, but there's no sound coming through.
Hello.
Oh. Oh, yeah, we got you. Turn him up.
Turn him up.
Turn your mic up.
Roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jan.
He sounds like one of the Who's in Horton Hears a Who. You know the Who, where it's really quiet?
Yeah. That's a great movie.
Well, as long as he's not in the Who's Gal. What is he? Come on. Are you in the Who's Gal? Come on. Yeah.
Play on words, Rollo. Oh, well.
Yeah, no. That microphone of his, he's got a very flash microphone, but something's not working on...
All right. We'll move on to the next...
Let me just get back to the Institute of Pandemics. That is critical because... Basically what that is telling you is Toronto and Ontario, where I live, is ground zero for the operation in Canada. So they're torturing Toronto because this is their backyard. They have to make this whole takeover take hold in Toronto. Otherwise, it's never going to work. So literally, we're in their little house. The invasion is in Toronto. That's where it's got to work. We've got an Institute of Pandemics getting millions of dollars. All these hellcrats are making well into the six figures. This is your alien force, and the headquarters is in Toronto for Canada anyway.
Yeah.
So here we go. It says University of Toronto Institute of for Pandemics, in quotes, funded by Miller's Merck. Run by Ontario Science Table, canucklaw.ca. They're a bunch of ouchy Faucis. And I'm glad that ouchy Faucis under the pump at the moment. I don't care whether it's the Wuhan thing or whatever. We all know that there is no such thing.
He's a Jesuit, man. He's a Jesuit. He's under the pump. I don't care.
Do you think he's on the way out this year? Because I think they've written Bill Gates.
He's on the way out. Bill Gates is on the way out. And the next one is going to be Klaus. You know, Cruella Klaus Schwab.
And then Trump's going to come back and lock up.
And save us all. He'll save us all.
Yeah, and he'll be the deceiver. He'll be the deceiver that gets everyone. He'll be the deceiver.
Oh, is that what you're predicting? Yeah.
Well, it has to be. If they get rid of them and he comes back, all the people that said, well, I'm not taking it, will do anything God Trump wants to do.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good point. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah.
Did you see of guys in the Army or National Guard going to a 7-Eleven and Dallas?
I couldn't believe it, Ab.
Oh, my God.
And did you hear the guy go, oh, thank you so much for, you're saving us all, you know. You give us
God
injection.
Bless America.
Like,
oh.
God bless America. Yeah, fuck off.
Thank you for shooting me up and potentially ruining my entire health. Thank you.
Yeah.
Off the charts.
All right, Ab, shall I move on to the next one? So
yeah.
Covey's origin discussions, a clever approach for hiding the scam. Now, you've written more misdirection and, in brackets, indirect promotion. Same applies to likely phony 3200 leaked emails. Now, and this is where you're talking about Ouchie
yeah.
Fauci here. Yeah.
All
you
it
can't
does
catch
is
a virus.
All it does is promote the idea that viruses are real. You can catch a virus. That's what it is. It's promotion. And the emails is a complete misdirection. I doubt he's writing any of these emails.
Hey,
it's just,
can you believe that car salesman today told me the same thing as you're just saying now? He goes, it's misdirection. He goes, as soon as I mentioned it, he goes, what do you reckon about that?
Get this guy on.
He said exactly what you, he just told me exactly what you said. It's misdirection.
Amazing.
That's what he said.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Oh, man.
And he's spreading the gospel in a car dealership in an outpost of Australia.
Yeah.
Really, he
tells everyone he can, and he's not scared about it either. He tells them.
Good.
All his staff are laughing. Some are laughing, because when I come in, he goes, this is Rick, he's on a podcast, and he's more woke than I am, so shut up. And he comes.
Yeah, exactly. He's a fear factory. Hey, Rick. Hey, Rick, we live in the fear factory. Hey, here we go. Here's the next one. This is a hat tip from Jan Eric. Hopefully he gets his mic fixed soon. This is for you, fakeologists. So Jan Eric's written, fortunately, some are born with spiritual immune systems that are sooner or later give rejection to the illusory worldview grafted upon them from birth through to social conditioning. They begin sensing that something is amiss. That's a comma there, yeah? So I'll hold there. And start looking for answers. Inner knowledge and anonymous, oh God, that's a hard word to say when I've had as much vodka as I've had, outer experiences show them a side of reality that others are obvious to. And so begins the journey of awakening. And each step of the journey is made by the following heart instead of following the crowd. Following the heart. Instead of following the crowd. And by choosing the knowledge over the veils of ignorance. And now he did that. That was a quote by Henry Bergson. Sounds good to me.
Henry Bergson. Now, yeah. I've got, can you listen to this? I've got the second edition of Henry Bergson's argument against Charles Darwin's theory of evolution on my bookshelf.
That is good.
Yeah, and someone threw it out. I actually found it being thrown out. It's like a leather-bound edition, but I can't read it. Only Ben be able to read it because it's all in French. And Henri Bergson was a good thinker. He was a good man. Oh, there we go. Jan, I can hear you.
What's it, Devin?
It was pub in France in 2 years after the first one.
Well, lucky for me, I happen to speak French. So if you ever want a page translated, just send me a picture.
Oh. That's
okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's called...
Is Jan coming through?
He is. I heard him just then. Oh, that's better. Cool.
I don't know. Maybe.
Good.
Is it?
Good. Yes,
we can hear you.
Voice settings.
We can hear you.
Uh-huh.
I can hear you.
Try adjusting sensitivity and volume on the control.
Or log in and log out.
I think he's got a new mic or something, and he's having a bit of...
He's got a really good mic.
No, he doesn't. Sucks. Can't hear him. A good mic you can hear.
I need to work.
Well, Ab, can I just tell you, Ab, the reason why you can hear me so clearly is I'm not using an Apple product. I'm using an Android phone.
I was going to say you sound different. There's a lot more bass in your voice, and it's very clear.
Yeah, it's a cheap Android phone with a cheap headset, and it sounds better than a $2,000 iPhone.
To my next point, if you allow me. There is an application that is called YouTube Space Vance, VANCE, and installing that application, we simply remove any ad from YouTube. You will not have any ads. You will be able to use YouTube on the locked screen and everything.
What's it say? Could you say that again?
YouTube Space Vance, VANCE. Like Vance.
Okay, thank you.
So Vance, it's called Vance, and it will. Yeah, what will it do for us?
Where do you get it?
It's a modded, you can get it by typing YouTube Vent from Google. And it's a modded version of the application that doesn't include any ads. And it can be used outside of the application and when the screen is locked.
Ah. So then.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, there you are.
Yes. Hello?
Come on, big fella.
You sound good now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, oh, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I just needed to adjust the right thing on my software
now.
Here, so...
Very good.
Oh, good.
All right, so let's ask Jan Erik, how has your week been? And tell us about your week and what have you seen?
COVID-19. Not much. It's still the same insanity.
Yep. Same insanity.
Well, Jan Erik has a Telegram channel, Mind Over Matter. One. And
I need to get on the Telegram. Check that out.
He puts tons of content on there. A lot of it he just sends me directly. And that's great resource.
Yeah, that on reversing quote before was awesome. He's obviously a man that you don't hear a great deal about. He's been kind of deleted off history. But Henri Bergson is the way to pronounce it, I think.
Should I read it again? Or should we get Jan to read it in his voice? Jan, can you read it for us?
No,
fortunately, some are born with spiritual immune systems. Come on now, Jan, can you do it for us?
Nah, I'm shy.
Oh.
Do your best with your vodka glass.
Come on,
Rollo. No,
So fortunately,
we got
some
it.
Are born with immune systems that sooner or later will give.
The guy.
All right, Ab.
Rick, don't be cruel.
It's okay.
You can do it.
We know the Joker 2 is coming out soon. Joker 2 is coming out soon. And do you know how much Joaquin Bottom's getting? $50 million. And do you know Todd Phillips is getting? $50 million. It's $100 million project before they even start.
But do you know how much?
Nothing.
Do you know how much? So Keanu Reeves got $50 million on the dot, same amount of money. Does he he took a percentage as well as his wage, and he got $50 million. He donated the $50 million back to the production staff of that movie.
Yeah, well, the guy sounds like he's got a good heart.
Oh, I think he does, and he seems.
Well, I was talking to you during the week. Remember about Arnold Schwarzenegger and when he was doing the who's the little short guy? I forgot.
Greta Thunberg?
No, not Greta Thunberg. I'm sorry about Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito. They did a film called Twins or something, wasn't it? Ivan Reitman.
Yes.
Yeah, none of them took, they all worked for free, but they all got such a good back end on it. A back end, like.
Paulo, what was the gross on the Joker? On Joker?
It was over $1 billion. Yeah. Is about 1.1 billion.
Yeah, well,
1.1 billion for a 55 million investment.
11. Yeah. 11. Work it out.
No,
11.
Exactly.
11. 1.1. 11.
Thank you, Rick.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Work it out.
It was a $55 million production, and it made over $1 billion. And when Warner Brothers heard that. They had to offer, you know, big money to get a second one and a third one. And do you know how I would do the second Joker movie? I would repurpose. There was a movie called, back in the 70s, called One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest that Jack Nicholson was in. I would repurpose that, him in Arkham Asylum. That's how I'd do it.
Well, Rollo, I'll tell you right now, whatever they do for the sequel will be predictive programming for the year to come. Guaranteed. Just the first one.
Sure. Well, the first one was 100... Are you saying everyone with masks on?
The first one was 100% predictive programming to rev up the disenfranchised purple-haired NPC bucket.
What was the other movie?
You guys know the television series Firefly from 2002?
Yes, I've got a box set of it.
Okay, someone was saying, I just read that it basically was saying what's going on now, China, United States,
superpowers. It's funny because that was one season and it's been pumped as super popular
I found the box set in a rubbish bin one day and I grabbed it and I thought I should watch that. And I've got it now, and it's like a metal box.
I didn't really think it was anything that great, but I just wonder.
Yeah, watch it again.
With what Ab said, and it's always pumped as a classic. Like, it's really, you got to see this.
As they say, Hollywood is telling you the truth. Lying to you. The news is lying to you, but the Hollywood is telling you what's going down.
Like I've said before, I like the TV series, and I don't have Netflix or anything like that. I just go through movies 1, 2, 3, whatever these sites are, you can get this stuff for nothing. I go on the search thing, and it comes up with all the TV series, and the main ones are Pandemics. This is over the last few years, and Alien Invasions.
Actually came on yesterday on the live stream.
And Supernatural, people with supernatural powers, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I came on the live stream yesterday to say, when I heard someone talking about what the next thing's going to be, it has to be Aliens. There's no other way. And when you look at Arthur C. Clarke...
You were on the live stream yesterday? What time?
I came on in 10 minutes after you said... I'm going in 10 minutes and you disappeared and I stayed on there for about an hour. And I was saying the alien hoax.
Oh, I missed that. So that wasn't yesterday. It was the day before.
No, it was Friday morning.
That was after Friday morning, Frank. Definitely. With Frank, talking to Frank.
Actually, it was after Frank. Yeah, well, I was talking with Frank and Babette. Babette, Frank, and someone else. But if you look at Arthur C. Clarke, right, as one of the major... players way over the top of any of the directors like Spielberg and Kubrick and stuff like that. Arthur C. Clarke's stuff is absolutely... And
he was a pedophile.
So, you know, Arthur C. Clarke, the whole thing about ping pong and the ping pong...
He moved to India, I think. He lived there.
No, he was living in an island in kind of the West Indies, and he used to hang out a ping pong parlor where he had young black locals coming back to his house, and he got exposed and he admitted he was one back in the day, as far as I can recall. The whole ping pong meme, when they had ping pong, remember when they exposed the whole pedophilia thing and it was ping pong, some ping pong pizza or
Pizzagate, whatever.
Pizzagate. So ping pong goes back to Arthur C. Clarke hanging around a ping pong parlor on the island.
Yeah, David Brock. Yeah, with Comet Ping Pong.
Comet Ping Pong. But if you can still find it, you may have to use the archive.com to go back and look at Arthur C. Clarke's history, but he was an admitted pedophile. He wasn't accused of it. He kind of admitted what... He used to hang out at this ping pong place on this island in the West Indies with young... locals that were going back to his place. He was a rich white guy, but just remember Arthur C. Clarke, and that's A.C.C. He's got the 133 in his name. He was the guy that came up with our satellite technology. He was a science fiction writer, a total science fiction fiction. And people need to understand.
The South Park guy, the South Park boys did a really good mistake on him. And so did the Goonies. I mean,
Hang on.
Rick and Roller.
Just in time.
You're listening.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes. Yes, you are. Saturday the 5th of June, 2021. Yeah, look, I like the Goonies. And the Goonies,
What are you changing the subject to,
They accuse those guys of being...
Arthur C. Clarke.
They
did a great parody of Arthur C. Clarke.
But
look at Arthur C. Clarke's book that he wrote. So you can tie in David Bowie in with the... Because what I was talking about yesterday was Crowley's influence on modern society is unprecedented to anyone else, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
That guy is absolutely numero uno, and Arthur C. Clarke was a kind of a contemporary type, you know, he was probably a contact of Crowley, I would say. But when he came out with his books, 2001 Space Odyssey, and 2010 and 2030, these are instruction books for the Masonic or the whatever, Masonic, demonic, whatever you want to say.
Golden Dawn.
The Golden Dawn. Same thing. And so Arthur C. Clarke wrote a book called, that David Bowie wrote a song about, and it was Are You Pretty Things? And it was basically a nice song, but it was about Arthur C. Clarke's book about the alien who looked like a demon that comes back and takes all the children away. It's called it's one of Arthur C. Clarke's less famous novel. So he's written 2001, where you've got your black cube, that whole thing that Kubrick used in his movie.
We can be heroes just for one day.
Arthur C. Clarke wrote the coming playbook for what's going down. I think he is the guy to look at.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what you just described, Rick, it looked like the plot for an English TV show I saw that was called Threshold. And they had a miniseries of two or three episodes, and the plot was that there was this kind of demonic alien that was coming to Earth every 30 to 60 years, and he was asking for kids. Man,
it's... Okay, so you'll find that will go back, that the original plot to that is an Arthur C. Clarke book. That David Bowie, David Bowie is DB, that's 4-2, and 42 you'll get, you know, everywhere. That number 42 is a real power number. 42.
The meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
Meaning of life, exactly. Exactly.
It's the answer to the question of life. Intergalactical Voyager.
And David Bowie also was a man who fell to Earth, and then, you know, you've got Satan falling to Earth in the Bible.
And he wrote the song "The Man Who Sold the World" that Nirvana did.
There you go. Funny that. Yeah, there you go.
Let's have a guess what the reference is, "The Man Who Sold the World."
Well, guess who his favorite. Guess who David Bowie's main figure was that he got into was Crowley. He was absolute
Alistair Crowley. My favorite David Bowie song is "Ashes to Ashes, Funk to Funk."
I recommend anybody wants to look into Crowley. William Ramsey Investigates. He read a
not,
book
not bad,
about
not,
him.
Not bad, not bad, not bad. Yeah.
My mother said, to get things done, you better not listen to Major Tom.
In the show notes, I just dropped William Ramsey Investigates, his latest show, Manny Grossman, and he talks about the Son of Sam. Murders. I wanted to ask Rick about this, but I actually just finished the Netflix 4-season episode of it, because I can't remember this stuff, and I watched it, and I'm watching this going, this seems a bit fake.
What a Netflix, who's run by Obama.
Yeah.
what are they doing releasing all this stuff for? Very strange, because there's a lot of stuff coming out.
But I was watching that thing, and these people just, it looks a bit fake to me. It looks, but anyway, William Ramsay Investigates has just done an interview with this guy, this author, who's written a book about it and everything, and I haven't actually finished the whole thing. It's only an hour long, but I haven't finished it. I was listening to it this afternoon. But this guy enticed into the intelligence agencies from the car guy out of it and everything. Good. He makes some good connections, and I think it's quite worth listening to. And he calls out some other good shit in it as well. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this about Ramsay. He's fantastic, but he comes across as an idiot, because he can't pronounce words, he calls Gaddafi. He goes, instead of Gaddafi, he calls him Gaddafi.
I know. We spoke about this the other week. Why would you pronounce McLeod? He couldn't pronounce McLeod.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is that deliberate? I don't know. I'm just going through my books here.
He has some suspect people on there, like Lee Veltman and that. I don't know. He's got the troubled teen industry, and he's the biggest shit-staring troublemaker on the internet. Regardless, he has some good people on there. Right?
Yeah, he does. No, he does. Johnny, he's definitely got some good stuff. I've been a big listener from day dot with him.
Yeah.
But I was very concerned when he couldn't say Gaddafi. He kept calling him Gaddafi. It's like, haven't you listened to a news report? Because it's Gaddafi.
I grew up, I only had to say Gaddafi when I was 10 years old, like he was on the news all the time, you know.
True, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It was pumped
I'm trying to remember the novel, and it's been remade recently, apart from the one you just said, Benoit, and it's about the planet, an alien comes and arrives and takes over. He looks like he's got cloven hoofs, and he's got a tail, and he's got pointy ears. He looks like Satan, but that's never mentioned in the whole thing, and he takes all the kids away with him. And David Bowie's song, Are You Pretty Things, is actually about that story. Bowie was an introduced and fully publicised thing. You know, he was supposedly gay. That was a lie. He wasn't gay. He was, had a lightning bolt across his face of this character, Ziggy Stardust. It was straight out Luciferian propaganda for the young people. And it's worked, as far as I'm concerned. They think Bowie's a deity now, most young people, or most people, you know.
Arthur C. Clarke is the new H.G. Wells, by the way.
They serve
the same function for their people.
That is 100%. Arthur C. Clarke is our H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells, who did change culture forever back in, 100 years ago, was replaced by Arthur C. Clarke.
Definitely. H.G. is the symbol for Mercury.
That's it. Magic. The messenger. Mercury, the messenger.
Yeah.
So
Hermes.
Hermes. Yeah. And then you go look at Hermes Trismegistus, or whatever the Masonic.
Trismegistus.
Trismegistus, yes. Sir. Yeah.
Ben, why do you want to put in on the latest server drama?
Ben, tell us.
Chief, I got to say something. Apparently, the person that I mentioned last week, as in Richard, he kind of created an offshoot of this place and actively recruited this kind of following to follow him there. And apparently, that's what is happening. And that's why we can see a drop in the number of participants.
Well, you know what? If anyone wants to go on there, they can stay there. They can stay there.
Definitely.
Because I have no time for the guy. The guy, he claims to have a head injury, but yet he's got an absolute total recall about incredible things. I've dealt with head injuries before. You can't talk like he does. So I think he's got he's exaggerating his thing. And he was a pain from the start. He's almost as bad as Spike, even though Spike had a good sense of humour, at least.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we thank him for his service. He did. He was fine at the beginning. Everyone sometimes
at the beginning, but yeah, but he took over.
What I didn't like, to be honest, is
the other trade he make of doing what he exactly ended up doing, which is taking his, quote, people and create a place and a space for them. So in the end, when you are a member of an organization and you are clearly threatening to create an offshoot and to stir trouble.
Yeah, you're an enemy. You're an enemy. Definitely. The enemy. He's an enemy, for sure. And I call him out. Yeah, I call him. And the fact that Spike turned up at the same time, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, I don't know, but you know that the real McCoy will all never leave, and if they do, they come back very quickly afterwards. You know, you've got a good crew here still, and
no one is that has love for the place will do anything to be detrimental
disrupt.
To it. So apparently that's the road it should take, and we have to live with it. But once again, I request that his moderator status will be removed.
Yeah, I think so. Ab, remove him. He shouldn't be a moderator. I don't know who can do it. I think it's only Velocet and Ab obviously have that power, but I don't think he should be a moderator. I think he should be, if he wants to be on here as a contributor, no problem whatsoever, but he does not need that power. You know, he's just, you know, he kicked out Purple Play, a number of Rilo, understandably, no problem there.
Oi! There's no way I should be kicked out.
No, I'm Rollo. And if you did, you go to me or Ben and say, can I come back in? And you get straight back in the back door.
Exactly. Yeah, that Richard guy,
I took your suggestion, Benoit. It's done, so.
Alright, let's move on to the next one phase, shall we? Do you want to move on to the next one phase?
Yeah, okay, so it's
FAC919, ounce of salt. Now, we talk about natrium. I don't know what that is.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
The cooling system for the fake nuclear reactors in Wyoming. Go. Yep.
Talk about that.
I don't know anything about
Were you on the end of that call? I didn't remember you, Exoteric. Maybe I didn't. I actually didn't go back.
Yeah, no, I was there. No, I was there at the end of it. But I don't know if it was that one, but I was there. I came on yesterday at about 9 o'clock. 8:30 for 1 hour, and I was talking to Babette, you, and Frank. And Frank was trying to tell me the Lucille Ball was Queen Elizabeth. Again.
Oh, Frank, it's
classic. I have heard that one. Yeah, I heard that one. You're overmodulating a bit on that one.
So, Ab, what you've basically written here is basically salt water replaces fresh water, not one word on the source of heat, presumably still using magic rocks. This is natrium in trademark, a reactor and integrated energy storage. So,
it's supposed to be the new nuclear reactor. It's going into Wyoming. Frank pointed out Wyoming is a coal-producing state, and they're building this magic reactor. They've been talking about magic nuclear reactors for so long now. None of them have ever materialized. And I went on the website of this company, Natrium, and Frank said natrium was just salt. I didn't know that, the Latin word for salt. Na is sodium, and then you have to combine that with something else to make salt. But anyway, if you go on their website, there is no information on what is the source of heat and energy for their new reactor. All they do is talk about the salt, which is the coolant for any nuclear reactor, salt water, and then you can create this molten salt to store heat. That's basically all it talked about. It didn't say what the actual magic rods were made of. So that's quite interesting that you can do your research and find out they don't say anything. They have this beautiful website, tells you all kinds of stuff with nothing in it. They just go on and on about the salt bath that's used to cool the rods.
I'm going to go back to the Lucille Ball thing just for a second.
Go, Johnny.
No, because I listened to that when Rick was talking to Frank about the whole Lucille Ball, Queen Elizabeth thing.
Lucy Ball.
Yeah, and I get that. I agree with that. But I don't see those two people being
There is not even a single point.
And I love Frank. I like listening to Frank. He's
Did you hear what I said to him? I said, Frank, Jesuit? Are you a Jesuit? And are you misleading the conversation as a joke?
But,
yeah. You know.
But I've watched some of this stuff on YouTube, and they present these videos with women that have got big, broad shoulders and everything, and I look at it and go, yeah. And then they just show pictures and everything. And then in the comment section, I'll say, yep, another video with just pictures set to music and nothing, whatever. And then you get attacked. You get attacked. On, oh, you're just an idiot.
Hey, Johnny's Liz. This is one of the funniest comments. One of the funniest. Frank was talking to, I can't remember if it was who it was, but someone called Frank a greenie, and he goes, that's the first time I've ever been, as a mining engineer, it's the first time I've ever been called a greenie. You know, he's a mining engineer. Yeah. Coal is what he's all about. Coal or a granny?
Yeah. But Ab's a bit the same, mate. He's a bit of into the whole trans investigation thing. But...
Oh, yes, I am. EGI.com.
Yeah, there's some valid points to it, but as I said to Frank, this is so ludicrous. I said it makes,
Frank is doing substitutions. I don't believe any of his substitutions. They're all BS.
Oh, that's terrible.
Next thing you'll be telling us, Lucille Ball is Desi Arnaz. I mean, Christ. Frank would never.
Can I just say the odd synchronicity that's going on here? One of the most dodgy actresses, you know, with her father being linked with the whole MK Ultra thing, Nicole Kidman, and her father, Anthony Kidman, who mysteriously committed suicide after he got named by Dr. Anthony, who worked at just up the road where I spent so much time roaming around the empty halls of the Roselle Psychiatric Hospital. That's where, which is just near my father's place, and that's where everyone walks their dogs. It's all empty now. Anyway, guess who? So she played Bewitched Samantha, and I was talking about Samantha Bewitched last week or the week before as being a really major remake.
She's no Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yes. I know. Guess who she is right in the middle of playing right now is Lucille Ball.
Wow.
And apparently
she had red hair to start with. Nicole Kidman
How can the same chick be in Eyes Wide Shut, have named in all of the...
She took the ticket, and be
a shit actress. If you look at some of her earlier stuff,
I'm not even talking
about BMX.
I disagree. Hey, Johnny Bliss, I disagree. She was in a movie with Sam Neill called Dead Calm, and it was a great movie.
I'm talking back
to
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane, thank you.
She was in, you've probably never seen, and she was fucking terrible. Like...
Is she inverted? Is she a he?
She's got the most beautiful body on her.
Was she young? 100%.
No, she wasn't. She came out of nowhere.
Tom Cruise pulled her up.
Yeah, he did. After he saw her in Dead Calm.
No, Tom. It was Tom. They were in a movie together. What was it called? Days of Thunder or something.
Keith Urban.
No, definitely not. No, he was just country and western. Yeah, he used to play around Sydney. He just fluked. I think he's a talent.
Young Talent Time or something.
No, I don't think so. No, that's Kylie and Kylie's sister were Young Talent Time, or Kylie's sister, but no.
Hold the phone.
You're listening to Rick and Rolling.
Yep.
We Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Abba, 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 Abba. Abba, Abba. Or well, his name's Fakeologist. Yeah, it is Saturday the 5th of June, 2021. Who are we here with? Benoit. We're here with Exoteric. We're here with, obviously, Fako. And Johnny's List and me, Rollo. All right, let's keep going,
and
man.
That was a good result from Benoit getting Richard removed as moderator. I totally support that.
Yes.
Totally support it.
And Jan Eric's back with us. Jan Eric is
wonderful,
back with us.
Wonderful.
Sorry. What's Jan Eric's thoughts? What do you, Jan Eric? What are your thoughts on Nicole Kidman's legs? Legs.
I don't have one.
Can I just say, right, as a watcher of the movie Eyes Wide Shut, the direction is fantastic. Now, the only interesting story I've got there is I was on Mission Impossible 2, and they were, when he was going out, he was married to her, and they came and hung around the pub right next to where I lived. And did I go to the pub that night? No. And unfortunately, they were there buying drinks for everyone and playing pool. Everything was fine.
Wow.
Then I guess
they could afford it.
Yeah, well, they could. But get this. Because I was always into movies. I've been into movies since I was like little. I loved the gossip and stuff like that. All of a sudden, they disappeared. And they had to go. They got called back to do shoot scenes for Eyes Wide Shut a year after that film wrapped in England.
Wow.
And I remember thinking at the time going, a year after you filmed a movie and you're sending people back. So obviously he'd been told, this would be Kubrick, you can't release what you've done. Yeah. So those two finished the scenes on Mission Impossible 2. They disappeared back to England out of the blue and shot all this stuff. And I remember thinking, because I worked on some big productions, right? And I remember thinking, when you wrap a movie and you finish
Pinewood Studios, is it not? In the UK.
Pinewood, exactly. Now, I can tell you about Pinewood and the moon landings.
Hold on, before you move on, Rick.
Go.
Who directed, I think it was J.J. Abrams
John Woo.
That did Mission Impossible 3.
No,
John Woo did the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he like in real life? Really nice guy, older Chinese guy, but nice guy.
Anyway, they disappear, and I remember thinking, you've wrapped a movie, and you've all the sets are being kept in pristine somewhere, and you just suddenly decide you're going to reshoot it. So obviously the film production people must have seen what he was going to release and said, no fucking way. And they made them go back. Before Mission Impossible wrapped, they sent Tom Cruise back to work on extra scenes to tie up whatever they've removed and make it seem kind of okay.
And he died very soon after that.
He died within 3 weeks after that happened.
He started pre-production.
He was doing pre-production on AI that Spielberg came out and which is basically a pedophile story.
Yeah.
Another pedophile story about a young boy robot. There's another pedophile thing involved. So if you can trace pedophilia and Kubrick right back to his Lolita movie that he did in 1962 with Peter Sellers and whoever else. This whole subject is probably some of the most interesting.
I'm not talking about pedophilia.
I'm talking about Kubrick and his being a storyteller for what's going on. Arthur C. Clarke, another pedophile guaranteed. And he, so these, the pedophiles are very influential in what's going on now. The writers or the script writers of this.
They are easy to control, though, because they have this.
That's exactly right.
I knew you were going to say that. It's a power dynamic. It's a power dynamic if you've got that power.
Yeah.
And you shook Harvey Weinstein's hand. And no, I'm not saying Weinstein was a pedophile, but he was.
No, he's not.
He was a rapist and, abusing his power. Look,
who's to know? But what I'm saying that, I've had nothing to do with Arthur C. Clarke Arthur C. Clarke and Kubrick's below Arthur C. Clarke in the whole scope of things.
Because
he is the creator. Clarke came up with satellite technology, and yet he is a science fiction writer. You know what I mean? It's so
predictive
obvious.
Programming, though.
Disney came up with space.
Disney did. But just remember, so our three shows that were must-watches if you were a kid in the 60s were Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, Space, and Lost in Space, those shows, and Star Trek. Those shows shaped our beliefs in what's going on. And
Star Trek was only on for one season, wasn't it?
Two.
It went from about 66 to about, it's about four seasons, Star Trek. And I'm not huge into it.
66 to 69, maybe. Yeah. And guess what preceded it? Preceded it was NASA moon landings. So you were watching Star Trek, 66, 3 years, and straight into October. The moon landings.
2001 released just before the moon landings as well.
You've seen Toy Story, right? Toy Story, where they moved it from cowboy movies to moon and space stuff.
They linked it.
That was Joss Whedon telling the truth, really.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But just remember, I was watching in 69 on TV, and I can remember this clearly as a five-year-old, Doctor Who... the moon base, and there was the Cybermen on the moon episode, which, now, of all episodes of Doctor Who, what got scrubbed? Off the planet? That episode. So they were building sets for a moon base in 68 for this episode of Doctor Who Cybermen on the Moon. The episode
Let me give you a good story here, Rick. They refound that. They've refound it.
They've redone it with CGI. The other ones, they're done with cartoons.
What year did they put out James Bond movie where they were driving?
Yeah, exactly. Yarn, perfect.
Moon Landing TV. The
Diamonds Are Forever.
Which year was this? I remember.
That was Pinewood Studios.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but I saw it just the other week on BitChute.
Yeah.
With O.J. Simpson and that where they faked the Mars.
Capricorn One was three years later.
They do that all
absolutely.
The time.
Absolutely. So you had
good fun. Diamonds
Are Forever.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, no, I went to see Capricorn One when in 73, 74 with my mate.
No, 78, mate. 78. Come on. Hey, dude.
78.
Everybody. Before I go, because I'm a bit drunk, I'm loving this conversation tonight.
Let's listen then.
All right.
Because I've got some stuff to say. So anyway, going back,
just finished my sentence. There is an episode that Vince. Guy Larkin linked to me about a 16th show from the BBC, where they are trying to recruit a writer by telling him that space travels are fake and that the news is written.
That's called the newsbenders, mindbenders, newsbenders, the newsbenders.
That was in the 70s, was it not?
I thought it was 68.
Sixty-eight.
Interesting.
It was a BBC play called the Mindbenders or Newsbenders, and it was a BBC production, 35 to 40 minutes about how everything is fake and they were faking the moon landings and everything, and it's just fantastic. And when
BBC were honest, Rick, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Back when they were honest.
No, they weren't being honest. They were telling you the truth. But say now,
yes.
This is my the whole thing where I got on the fakeologist.com. Is when I exposed UFO, the TV series that I won't say woke me up. That was my favourite show when I was 5. When the moon landings were happening, I was watching the moon landings. I was watching Doctor Who, Sidemen on the Moon, and then the UFO
the prisoner,
came out.
The Prisoner.
Oh. Prisoner was 67.
good but one.
The moonlet. So the UFO was about a film studio pretending to be, a space company pretending to be a film studio, and they were actually attacking the UFOs that were coming to invade the planet and take away people use their bodies as. I was watching this in 69, right? It was my favorite show. But NASA is a film studio pretending to be a space agency. So you had this inversion going on. Yeah, a total inversion. And
Hollywood.
The film sets on UFO were real sets. They used a cross between Thunderbirds animation with Jerry Anderson. That's not his real name. He's actually from another country. He's Hungarian / parenthesis. They were using the same technology for Thunderbirds, but mixing it in with real people. Exactly the same thing as NASA is doing, using props with actors. And you'll see.
It was so funny when the guys from South Park tried to redo it. You know, America, fuck yeah, we come and see the motherfucking
you
day.
You know, that was good. But anyway, Rollo, shut up for 2 minutes.
No, let me tell you.
Two minutes. Shut up. What I'm saying is that they used the same set of the moon footage of Diamonds Are Forever were used for, Pinewood Studio was used for UFO and Diamonds Are Forever. The same sets were used by Kubrick's film production company that was setting up at Pinewood Studios for 2001.
Cheap bastards.
Not cheap, just smart. They scrubbed the whole lot of them. And Doctor Who used the same set of the moon. They built these sets of the moon landing.
It happens all the time, mate. You know it.
Rollo, fuck off, man. It just does not happen. It happened in 69, though. So they deleted Doctor Who.
But back then, I presumed everything was there for entertainment, not for propaganda. Everything now.
That's right.
Everything now in Hollywood is propaganda.
Yeah,
okay, Rollo,
maybe you should fuck off now because you probably had too much vodka. Except for Trump.
Rollo, thanks for showing up. It was a good night.
Yeah, and fuck off. I can mute him if I wanted to, but I won't.
You have the power, Rick.
I don't feel worthy.
Rick is red.
I won't. You won't see me. So I could have muted old Spike last week, but I actually thought he was an independent mind, you know. But once I seen him attacking the chicks, attacking females, bad move.
No,
but anyway, what I'm saying though, you can tie in. So Kubrick, when Kubrick produced Lolita and all those films, he left America and he refused. I can remember this. He refused to ever return to America. So something scared him so much, or he just said, I don't want to go back there. So every movie he did after that was all done in Pinewood Studio film set. So
London.
Moon Landing in London, yeah. So when he did the movie Full Metal Jacket, he filmed a whole Vietnam movie in London. They flew over palm trees and planted them in pots and buried them in the ground to make it look like Vietnam. Because he was too scared to leave England for some reason. There's a story there.
It reminds me of Salman Rushdie. You know, those guys look so similar.
Another one. Well, they do, but he doesn't. I've already been through that.
Another guy. Yeah. Whatever happened to him? Does he still have a fatwa on his head?
Yes. Well, he's still alive, apparently. Still alive. Don't know. I see his books around all over the place. But there's definitely between Diamonds Are Forever, and they had the actual same astronaut costumes on that movie. Well worth watching again. I highly recommend watching Diamonds Are Forever to watch.
What year was that? And that was Sean, right? Sean Connery?
It was filmed 69, released 70.
Yeah, I should watch that.
Yeah.
It's
right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Right in front of your face. Right in front.
Any of you guys watch that movie from 1988 with Rodney?
Roddy
Piper.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. You're talking about They Live. They Live.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you watch that? I never watched it. Is it worth a watch?
I loved it. You've got to watch it.
Totally a revelation of the method movie.
Yeah, yeah.
This is how we control you, and you're too stupid to understand it, so... Good
by one. The TV. By the TV. Yeah.
Okay,
and,
I have to watch
and
it.
And I love the announcement... Look, Ab, I'm telling you now, man, watch the movie and get one of your kids to watch it with you, because they'll enjoy it.
Okay,
it's actually quite a fun movie. Yeah. And they'll see the analogy between the sunglasses and just you just being awake and looking up and going... Because that's what I'm like now. I'm driving.
Sunglasses are deductive reasoning, really.
Yeah, there'd be a symbology in there somewhere.
That's what you need to look through all the bullshit. So the service.
Yeah. And so when I drive the streets and when I swear to God, I feel that's what I've got on. I look up and I see the signs of a new hotel going up, and they've got a circle with an eye in between them. Or I'm following a car with the all-seeing eye. There's a new Chinese company just arrived, and it's got a Masonic all-seeing eye as their logo. And it's like, how can this be?
Are the Chinese selling their cars there now?
Yeah.
That'll be the end of your car industry.
Great Wall.
Great Wall, yeah.
Is there an Australian car industry still? Do you guys make cars?
Yeah, that's what... No, gone.
No.
Gone.
And I reckon
that's
all part of this, because South Australia is now doing a big push on electric cars and everything, and I think that's
coincidence.
They decimated our car industry because we're too expensive to make cars. Yeah, England still can make cars, but we can't. And they were turning around and go, we can afford to make electric cars. So that's the way it's going to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Look, the future is so predictable. If you watch Hollywood or Netflix or the newspaper and just fill the gaps in between it's so obvious what's going down.
I was listening to you during the week, Rick, and you were talking about the infrastructure, the massive infrastructure.
Oh, man.
Same thing. The last 6 months, it's exploded, like, in the country here, they're actually...
Why
the
are
roads,
they doing
the roads,
it?
The roads that have been terrible for the last 10, 15, 20 years, they're actually fixing.
Yeah, here we go.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
And I don't know if it's of any interest, but one of the newest brands of electric cars is named Polestar.
Yeah. I'll guarantee it, man. So what, so the whole flat earth thing and the Polestar, there's a
there. Polestar is there. Volvo, but which is Chinese. No.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah, it was interesting today because, you know, I've been buying a car, obviously. I've been talking. So apparently the designer for BMW is now doing the ones that I bought, the, not Daihatsu, the Hyundai. Hyundai is a BMW designer. And the other big car out there was another year, a Mercedes designer is now doing some of those Japanese, Chinese cars. Because they do look good. The what you just said then, there was the Great Wall, there's Psycho or Psycon or S-O-S-A-I.
You don't see that many of them. They're Mercedes owned, yeah.
So all the manufacturing is in China, all of it.
Yeah.
All of
that's
it.
My whole thing with the car industry. They've decimated the Australian car industry because we're too expensive to make cars. But that's obviously done for a reason because they'll probably start it up again, but oh, we can afford to make electric cars now, you know. But
what they're going to do, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not being racist, but they are bringing in Indians and Chinese hand over fist here.
I'll interrupt for just a quick second. That the country town that I work in, like Clare, it's 2.5 hours north of Adelaide. It's not that big a country town. There's thousands of people that live there, but whatever. The Indians are just buying, taking over everything. Like the biggest motel's just sold there to an Indian. Yeah. It's full on, man. Like, and nothing against the Indians.
Oh, yeah, the Indians, and they're from the Gujarat province of India, which is near the Punjab, which is the number one people in Canada. And they own all the hotels in North America. It's the good business. They're in it. They're good businessmen. They're sharp minds. So they definitely dominate motels here, too.
I think the Chinese dominate the
hotels here.
I did my medium rigid truck license about 2-3 years ago, and the instructor, it's a one-day course, and the instructor is telling me, because I do heaps of Indians and everything, and he goes, they're telling me that back in India, they're told they can earn $10,000 a week in Australia.
$10,000 a week?
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, I taught a guy, instructed a guy through the course last week, and he's washing cars during the day, driving taxis at night, earning fuck all. And he goes, do you tell your people back in India that you can't earn it and that? And he goes, yeah, but they don't believe me. They think I want all the money for myself and, you know, they don't believe me.
Yeah, they've obviously been conned. There's no doubt about it.
It's the whole replacement thing.
Lots of Indians do very well. They do very well in Canada.
Neither am I. But where I am is a small regional, but very fast growing area. Like Port Macquarie is just releasing land lot after land lot, and they're selling out. They release 70 big blocks of land, and they sell out in half an hour. They're not being bought by local people here. I guarantee it now.
The Chinese can't own property in China, so they come here and the Western world to buy it. They're not allowed to own China property. It's going to come here soon anyway.
Yeah. We've got these New Zealand-owned organic fast food franchise things called Oliver's, and they've got a satin logo, which is, it's basically an orange with a leaf through the middle of it, but it's satin. Straight away on you, hang on a minute. Anyway, they're really expensive, but it's beautiful food. And I kept seeing, as I'm driving up here, when I pull into one, families of Indians in there eating and buying up. When I had a family of five to feed, I would never go to one of those places. You'd go broke because you'd be costing you $80 for your breakfast. If there's five of you.
Wow.
These families that are coming here, the Indian families, they're all in there. I'm looking around going, why is there so many Indians there? They've got no shortage of money. The new the new ones that are moving here are very well off.
Yeah. We work for them. Where I work, they own the local business. We do the plumbing work for them, and they're just buying businesses left, right, and centre and that sort of thing. Yeah. I was going to ask you, Rick, like, around where I am, because I'm rural, like, the work on the roads is huge. Is that what's happening in your area? Like the
Oh, man, listen. It's what I was saying yesterday.
So they've done nothing for a long time, and now they're doing heaps on the roads.
Oh, they're all over the place. So everywhere you're going, it's the speed rate.
Same
the speed is reduced.
Same
speed
here. Rate,
speed zone the reduced, and there's orange people. There's chicks doing doing stop go. There's always chicks doing stop go, and there's and they're getting paid good money, and they're doing up roads. They're building tunnels, bridges, and everything. Up and down
they're doing
between
exactly
the Gold Coast
same thing here.
To Victoria. I'm saying, we're going to get replaced. They don't want us here. The white people are on the way out. The sad
fact. Yeah, but I've said this before. The white people are taking themselves out.
Yeah, they are. Well, yes, Andy, you're right. They are. They are. They are. And they're doing it because they're getting... psychic driving on their radio, on their TV, of
and
COVID,
honestly,
COVID.
Once the new wave of immigrants comes here, the one generation, they're indoctrinated too. They're no different. So they're going to be...
They are different.
They're going to be... not really. Well, it takes a generation to knock them out too when they get the Western culture and they get indoctrinated with... when their culture is broken into...
They're
creating a monoculture.
Yeah, but the Indians and Chinese are provably easier to control than the Europeans.
The communist revolution.
The Scottish, Irish, Greek, Norwegian, ex-Viking, any of those people, they are not easily controlled, and they have a history of fighting back and beating whatever's running the show. Indians and Chinese have been controlled.
They don't,
it's a communist revolution in China. That's how they finally got control of China after all their attempts.
Financed by the Americans. Remember that? Financed by the Americans.
And the British.
Anglo-American Empire. The Anglo-American Empire owns China. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Exactly. And they are the model for the New World Order.
They are. And David Rockefeller keeps on, I mean, he's dead now, but he kept reiterating, this is the model for the future. You can go back, or you used to be able to go back.
To run a country in China better than any other country because they were mostly simple farmers and they converted them fast to the new
agrarian economy. And
the Europeans
forced off the land, It's just frightening, bankrupt. So today I got on. This is the first time I've got it because I had a hire car for 16 months or whatever. So I don't very rarely get public transport. So I got public transport into the city. I walked through the city, which I haven't done for at least a year, and I just looked at all the adverts everywhere. And you know who you don't see on any advert? A white person. And if you do, they are very odd looking. So it's afros.
Their eyes are slightly Chinese. Asian, or they have a short fringe,
They may as well be from somewhere that's like predominantly not white, like very Italian, maybe like dark Italian with like bushy eyebrows. Or anyway,
but when I was staying at my mum's a while back, she got pay TV and this. Tollgate ads would come on, and these white chicks would be there, but they've got jet black and Asian style. And I pointed out to her then, and said, "See how they're white, but they look Asian? It's coming."
Yeah, that's true. It's so true. We're
gone.
The way out. We're gone.
Well, Henry Kissinger said,
"We're in the ancient century now."
Exactly. I was going to say Asian century.
They are moving their headquarters from the white,
In Norway, are you getting flooded with migrants, or is it still being predominantly?
No, it's getting there. actually. But Sweden is much worse than Norway.
Oh, what fucks me up about the whole thing is, like, yes, like New Zealand, Australia, Canada, we've emigrated to this country and all that sort of stuff, but Europe is the homeland. So I can understand when they talk about turning these countries back to whatever, blah, 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 but Europe was the homeland, you know, but they're trying to destroy that. So where does that come from? That's one of my big questions.
That's right. Well, that's part of the agenda, obviously.
It's an old plan, so.
A very old plan. And
out with the old, in with the new, as they say.
In with the new. And so some of my clients, one in particular, one of the leading architect company in Australia, and most of their stuff they do is global. And at the moment, they're doing loads of quotes for the Middle East for these new super cities that are getting built in, what area would it be? It's near
Dubai.
Abu Dhabi. The stuff they're designing, because I see their plans, what they're submitting.
Oh, it's crazy.
These incredible things that are like an entrance from a desert road. They're building this giant thing out of X's, these kind of X-shaped things, that to the entrance of the super city that's coming in the future. It's not... I've seen it in the paper. They're talking about where it's going to be. It's going to have massive population, massive smart city, off the grid, not off the grid, but, you know, using allegedly... whatever they're using for power. It's like this, that Astana. And you spoke to the Astana guy, Ab. So
Astana, yeah.
That is the role model of the future.
After I talked about have you ever heard anything about it again? Like,
I've spoken. Yeah, one of my clients is one of the most famous architects in Australia, right? And I asked him about Astana, and he said, I've never heard of it before.
I know, crazy.
Yeah.
Under
the radar, it's like they don't want us to know. And they used, this is a very information, they are using Borat, the actor from Borat.
And there is something I want to mention about that place.
Go.
Is that maybe it's something that is only in Europe, but in Europe we had those gas stations called Tamoil. Tamoil was in Libyan interest. Obviously, that one fell through and it was replaced by Sokar, and Sokar is in Kazakh interest. That is an interesting change in scenery for those that are interested.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's former Soviet Union as well.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And to come back to the earlier point you were making about replacement, my country, Switzerland, has always been replaced. I never was in my own country. When I was a kid, we were only 3 Swiss in my class, and we were making fun of us. So it's not like it's a concept that is strange to me or anything. Always been the case around us. We never really were in our country.
No. Very interesting country, though. You're in the belt of the elite.
Oh, you're in the belly of the
elite. Switzerland, is it Switzerland that you can't wash your clothes on Sunday? Is there a law for that?
Absolutely not. I don't know about any law.
That will come with the 5G, the smart
guy, and he reckons there was a law that you couldn't wash your clothes on Sunday or do washing on Sunday.
No, maybe it's specific for one building. But we have no shortage of rules.
This guy was a bit weird, say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it will come when we enter into the smart grid technocracy, which is going to happen. There's no conspiracy theory.
Did you see what Amazon did now?
Amazon.
Yeah, they gave people 1 week from system being integrated into one, so everything will be connected, all Amazon gadgets.
Yeah.
You share internet with your neighbors and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything you do, everywhere you go, with your smartphone will be relaying to the 5G grid that's coming.
This will be East Germany on steroids times 10.
Oh, yeah. And steroids times 10. No,
yes.
And the looks I was getting on
that. I have no idea what we're facing here.
Yeah,
it's going to be like an open, high-security prison, these super cities.
And we're being run going right back to the old English, what's his name, that came up with the panopticon,
yes,
that guy. We are in the panopticon because on the plane, there's 25 people on the plane. Everyone was looking at me without a mask, with their eyes. I could just see them, you know, look around. They're looking at me.
You were the enemy, you see.
Oh, yeah, I was the enemy. And they...
Kate Wand had in her video. I put a pretty good video up, and Kate Wand was grabbing a Twilight Zone where a woman was in hospital.
Yeah, and the aliens were ugly, and she was beautiful, but they were making the beautiful one look like they were ugly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Twilight Zone was, there you go for predictive programming. That show absolutely nailed it. Yeah, and Rod Serling was a fantastic host.
You're obsolete, remember that one?
Obsolete, yeah. And remember, what's my favourite one was the one with the aliens, to serve mankind, and mankind, we're going to be the dish for the aliens, basically, you know, the humans thought that they were going to get served by
the aliens. Was a good story about an alien coming to Earth and destroying the Earth because humans were evil.
Yeah. And look at, and I listened to a fantastic show, I can't remember who it was, it would have been that show that Tim Kelly did with the two guys, the two brothers,
Collins
brothers.
Collins brothers.
Fantastic.
Man, that was full on. I have to listen to that again because that guy didn't take a breath for the first 45
minutes. Absolutely fantastic.
I know. Guys, because I'll cue that one up for myself after this call.
Oh, it's full on.
Yeah, it's Tim Kelly's Our Interesting Times latest show. And it's the Collins brothers discussing the alien agenda. Alien agenda. And Well, they're using it by the intelligence agencies are using it to convince us that...
Collins brothers, is that right?
Yes.
Collins, yeah. Well worth broadcasting.
Copy.
Just, I loved everything they said because I was a UFO buff back in the day, you know. I went to the seminar.
So UFOs were BS? Total bunk?
Absolutely. They're military, probably drones, and they'll use that, as I was mentioning, Arthur C. Clarke's book, not the Golden Child. It's about the aliens come to the Earth to help us, but they're not helping us. They're actually not helping us at all. That's going to be a thing. There's no two ways about it. They will fake an alien invasion or some extraterrestrial. It's on the way. It's on the way.
They don't
really happen.
They're already here in the public health agencies.
Well, I was on this plane today, and I felt like I was an absolute alien. Just judging by the look.
Crowley, he did the original Grey. Crowley,
he did, and it was Lamb. I am.
I mean,
Lamb.
The similarity is ridiculous. Like.
No, it's the same thing. It's the same face. That face of he scrawled that image of this is the guy that was telling me the stuff, and it's your alien Grey right in front of you. And it was interesting that me and my friend that was into UFOs back in the 70s, we both came up at the same time totally agreeing with the French ufologist that said, these things are from a dimension, not from another planet. It's a dimension thing. I totally believe that. I believe that. It's a demonic thing. And Arthur C. Clarke's books are all straight out demonic, as far as I can work out.
You're listening.
I wear my face mask in my car
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
I wear my face mask when I walk so I can make sure they know I'm really smart.
A fantastic chat tonight with a good cast of
Well, I just,
psychologist here.
It is. And just with that, the Arthur C. Clarke thing, it's just funny that you guys are talking about it tonight, because last night I was couldn't sleep and I'm searching stuff and Crowley and all that sort of stuff and Arthur C. Clarke, and he's evidently related to the Milner Group, like, or something. And
yeah,
never heard of before. Guaranteed. So there's another, I'm just saying there's another.
Where did you find that link? Where did you find
it? I couldn't tell you. I'd have to go and look through, like.
Who's the Milner Group?
Milner Group. So Alfred Milner.
It's a round table.
Yeah. Alfred Milner was the round table that were funded by the Rothschilds that took over South Africa and Africa back and the resource mining back in the day. And you'd be able to trace Milner Group straight to Blackstone or BlackRock or...
Well, I'd never heard of them, so it's always good to find something. Not good. Well,
Milner has been scrubbed out of your history. You've got a good brain there, man.
They own almost every country, every corporation in the world. Isn't that stunning? And their private companies.
They control is the major stock, so they rule the board of the company. They really don't need a massive amount of stocks to control the stuff. It's all about leverage. That's what they're interested in.
Yeah.
Not so much money.
And
BlackRock,
they have an ample supply of revenue.
$6 trillion.
$6 trillion. Yeah, it's got to be six. BlackRock is straight out, you know, Rockefeller. All this thing about these guys and their imagery of stone and rock and rock and roll, all of the stuff was straight out of their same playbook. Rock music. Why do they call it rock and roll? It's all to do with their...
Rockefeller and roll. Rockefeller and Rothschild.
Same thing. Rothschild, Rockefeller, both same. I think 11 digits in their names. Same thing. The
they're front cameras, though. They don't run the shit.
Yeah, oh, they are. They're the front men. The front men.
If you know their name, they don't have an immense amount of power.
What do you think of the Dutch MP that read out the Rockefeller plan in the Dutch Parliament? I just put that video on Facebook.
That was really interesting. I posted this on my Telegram earlier.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So, Jan, how hard is it to register with Telegram? You go on Telegram.
It's pretty easy. It's really easy. It will take you less than 5 minutes, even if you
posted the invitation in the chat already.
If you allow me, I would like to quote someone, an historical personage. What I'm about to say can qualify about said category of person, but it applies to everyone in the end. Joseph Goebbels once said, you can call a Jew a monster, a thief, a criminal, whatever you want. He won't bulge. But if you call him a Jew, he will shrivel and go back in the darkness because he will know that you had recognized him. And I think that applies to many categories in this world.
Yeah, that's possible. Where people don't want, people do not want their names mentioned, but they what they do is give you their intentions with their name. And BlackRock and Blackstone are one of the two biggest finance companies on the planet right now. As soon as you see the word stone or rock in a name,
what was the name of the contractor company that was famous in Iraq? That had to change.
Blackwater.
Exactly.
Yeah. Same thing. And water. So you got what they use is water.
Who owned that company is allegedly Christian.
Yeah. So he says. And his sister is very well. The founder of Blackwater. His sister is very high up in the American.
Changed the name of the company like two or three times already.
Yeah, they call it. Oh, I can't remember the name of the company. They call it now, but it was a mercenary group basically.
Yes.
Yeah, a private army.
I think it's named Vanguard or something, mate, as it's now.
Yeah. Vanguard, possibly. Family, though, you just have to look.
It's a private military corporation, isn't it? PMC.
Yes.
They've changed names so many times.
Pipeline.
Yeah, same thing.
In Canada, they're guarding the pipeline that the Chinese are building. I don't know if it's built or they're building it.
The Chinese are building with Irish workers.
Yeah. Irish and Chinese. No Canadians.
And the Irish, the infrastructure here being built has got Irish workers on all the major construction.
What is it about the Irish? I know.
Because they have
always been the slaves of the British Empire.
They certainly have. And yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And the Scottish.
Remember the Black Watch was the Black Watch was one of the groups.
The Irish problem and the Scottish problem. You can see the size of the population in those countries are really small compared to England.
If you allow me to kind of change topic, apparently I don't read the newspaper more often, but I'm in front of the newspaper right now. Apparently, this Monday there will be a COVID certificate in Switzerland. Not that I know what it will entail or anything, but it's a fact. It's happening.
Yeah. No doubt, man.
Wow.
It's happening.
It's coming here too.
I might have booked my travel at exactly the right time.
Yeah, I think so, because I felt I was the only guy without a mask on a flight of at least 50 people.
It's good that you did it though.
And the stairs, man. I kept looking behind me because I could see these women looking at me, and because I had my no mask, and they brought tea and coffee around, and I was drinking it, and I was thinking, if anyone else has taken one of these, they'd have to take their mask off to drink a cup of coffee, which is offered on the flight. And sure enough, they were. So therefore. And the pilot definitely did not have a mask on as an Indian. And
that would be dangerous. Probably oxygen in the flying plane.
There's enough problems
in a plane. Yeah. What about the idea that people that get vaccinated can't take flights because of potential blood clots? That's crazy, huh?
Well, I know a number of people have got blood clot issues after they had their vaccine. So it's a
oh, really?
For sure.
So you got first-hand knowledge.
100%. One of my...
The guy was saying, I know who was a pilot. He was saying pilots have to get up and start walking around after 2 hours so they don't get blood clots normally without quack. So now,
why would you be on a plane up in the air above the clouds? Because that was the thing I was doing. So we were flying above the clouds and I was like going far out, you know, like...
I'm always the curve.
You know what? No,
you
I
see the,
didn't.
No, right,
high enough.
It looks flat to me.
Anyway, go on.
And I stay out of that argument. But yeah, it does look flat to me. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And to anyone else, I mean, look, has anyone seen kind of?
Well, maybe the vaccinated people.
The whole flat thing. I'm a bit like you, Rick, a bit agnostic. But if you went with your senses and you walked out the front door. Like,
yes.
And you were never told anything. You know? That's all I'm saying.
I didn't. But I love the salesman today, the other day. He said, what do you reckon about flat earth? Flat? And I said, look, I'm agnostic. And he goes, it's flat, isn't it? And I went, yeah, I think so. And I'm
just
sad,
in your own
so,
perceptions, think, it would be. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. We don't know what it is. I get that. I totally agree with that.
Look, like, I was with, I'm 100% with... Chris Kendall in his argument, because he really battled, because what he did pick up on is that these flat earth paws, you know, what I'll call it, you know, the ones that were living off flat earth, all arrived within the same week or two, you know, back in 2015. Even John LeBron, I think, who
came out of nowhere, like, boom.
Literally.
Well, people will jump onto a money maker, like in the alternative media.
Yeah, but not like the way that the publicity these guys got, and especially Eddie Bravo and Geronism and all those guys. Like, you know, I listened to their stuff and I thought it was good, but these guys all registered their businesses within the same 2 weeks, and Kendall spotted it. And that's why I've always held him very high as a...
the brilliant mind.
Oh, don't you think? I just... Oh, yeah. I loved, I mean, I've never laughed so much at some of the offhanded Chris Kendall.
He's a good man. He's gone.
He's gone as far as I'm concerned. But I used to contact him via email, and I contacted him and John Adams via email before I got on to fakeologist.com, and they used to reply straight away, and we were discussing music, not fakeology or anything like that, and they both knew their stuff about music, and so I had no doubt that these guys were who they were back in the day.
There is a strong link between the cultural creation industry and the military, always been.
Yeah, 100%. And it only gets bigger the more you look into it. And the when they used the UFO hoax guys all came from the same families that all had military families or they're all ex-military.
Sure.
I knew that, you know, straight away, you know, this is, something's wrong here, that if it's a military information source, you are being lied to. And that's why when Bill Cooper totally did a 360 and he said UFOs are fake, I've been lied to, which is what he did. And then got killed, disappeared shortly after.
Silver of the lips, I guess.
Yeah, and he certainly said Alex Jones is a hoax. That's what Bill Cooper, he said this guy is a fraud.
100%.
He's totally from the intelligence community. Alex Jones.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's a fuckwit.
Yeah.
Well, he has told us that he's in for war. That is what he's doing.
Yeah. And we spoke about this before. God, I wish I could meet Matthew North. Did a thing about it, and the unintelligent company, there's something like that. Massive, but search Matthew North, InfoWars, the unintelligent company. They're massive Crowleyites. They're Satanists, like
have loads of companies.
The disinformation company is called, and that's where Alex Jones comes from. These other people, the disinformation company, and they're
They do give some good truth, though, but it's a spin on it and everything, which is making it
I've always been a bit ambivalent now towards Alan Watt, but what he said, that keeping your sanity and surviving this matrix of lies that you're getting thrown at.
He was totally right.
Yeah, totally right.
This is a really big test.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. It's like, you know, you use your gut instinct most of the time works, but then there's stuff that comes out and you're going, well, that sounds good, but, you know, how can I trust them? It's total gaslighting, and the biggest gaslight I say is Mandela effect. Mandela effect is 100% gaslighting. Because I saw the movie with the girl with that they go on about saying she hasn't got braces. Then I found Moonraker. I found a copy of it, watched it, she had braces. And I knew when I watched that movie that we all laughed when the girl smiled. Now, even Infinite Plane is still implying that if you saw braces, that you've been Mandela'd. That's bullshit. It's like...
What he said was, you can see her not wearing braces if you stop a couple frames, and that's just the way they put the braces into the movie.
What I can say from...
Yeah, you don't need every frame.
...years of working on... Yeah. What I can say from many years of working on big films and hanging around film sets is they shoot at least 5 endings of most movies.
Sure.
There's different scenes getting done, and they could easily have shot one with braces, one with not braces.
And then they test them, by the way. They do use audiences to test the endings to see which one
they
use.
They do, and they go...
That's for the psychological effect of the movie, which they want to achieve.
That's right.
Which is extremely important for them.
Yeah. So did they like Lassie dying, or do they want Lassie to stay alive?
Yeah. Or it could have been research, you know what I mean? It's like you are doing a test shoot, so you don't need to put the braces on, because obviously it's only a rehearsal shot to see if the camera angles are good, the lightnings and everything. So you just switch that with the original ending and you get your Mandela.
Yeah, exactly. Well, me and Rollo, we were at his place when we were doing a live, the Fart Podcast 3, I think it was, we went onto YouTube and did it live. And we found a copy of her with braces on, and you can listen to, if you go back to Podcast 3 or whatever it was, we found it online back then with full-on braces. Because I remember watching the movie, and the only reason we laughed is that Jaws looks at her, and she smiles, and she's got braces because he's got totally metal teeth, and everyone laughs in the movie. So it was a thing. But when you realise that Ian Fleming was Ian Fleming would be the number three after Arthur C. Clarke, Kubrick. Ian Fleming would be the number three as far as social change and bullshit goes. Ex-MI5, 100% an agent. Look,
Edward Dog was also intelligent.
Is there such a thing as an ex-MI5? Isn't it one of the
nothing.
Things you are
there's implied? No such thing as an ex. There's no such thing as an ex. CIA, MI5, they are all always agents. That's part of their sign.
The lifetime oath. Lifetime.
So all those James Bond movies.
Caspian contract, I think it's called.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, absolutely. So Ian Fleming, who was well into the whole operation, get Americans into World War II. He was an agent, admitted agent. He died very mysteriously too, because I think he died.
That's the only way he could die, mysteriously. All these guys.
Yeah, it was in Jamaica. He died in Jamaica. And
what was
mysteriously.
He doing there?
He had a huge house there, and that's where he resided. And I can bring up a whole host, like the former member of The Clash, Joe Strummer, grew up in his house. Very, you know, intelligence agent, father.
Jamaica's a Commonwealth country, is it not?
The Clash, the Crowleys,
The Clash were a major influence of the whole punk generation. And an operation, and they all had military fathers. Joe Strummer's father's an intelligence agency.
Clash is a ska band, so it's the connection with Jamaica.
Yeah, there's something there. There's a big there with Jamaica. I'm not sure the whole thing, but when you go back, you got Bob Marley getting whacked by the son of who gave him the football boots, and he got a stab in the foot. The next thing you know, that foot got cancer and he died. Yeah, well, Bob Marley was a major influence, though, let me tell you. The guy...
He was made in the UK, though. He went over to the UK to become a star.
He did, exactly.
He lived in London.
And same with Jimi Hendrix, went to the UK, same.
Yes.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Yasarian, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Oh, how wonderful.
Your mate.
Well, he got kicked off last week, I believe. But he's got some good stuff, though. Let me tell you, Johnny come lately.
He does?
Oh, well, all the stuff from Tasmania. His Tasmanian stuff and his Victorian stuff's good stuff. He posts it. He doesn't talk, but when he posts it. Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix, all these power brokers. And that's why I like the Offerman report. You actually, even though he's a mad socialist and I wouldn't trust everything he says, he does link a lot of good stuff. So I would advise anyone to go to Offerman report and look at his stuff on the...
Where is he based?
Offerman being a Jewish name.
He is. Yes. He says he's...
I don't want to hammer on the Jews today, but it's always fun
He brings that, but he says the most attack, because he worked on the Epstein case for the American government, but he said once he brought up this particular German girl who was Epstein's girlfriend, beautiful, and I'm saying absolutely gorgeous, Mossad agent that works for...
Do we think Epstein is real?
Yeah, and
no,
no, he,
not
no, he,
one,
no,
one,
he,
one
no, is real. I do 100%. He was a Mossad agent, guaranteed.
If there is even some high level Mossad agents, not those ones.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Well, he didn't get caught.
I think
he didn't
character.
Die.
He's a part of the biggest theater.
He
didn't die.
I followed his story for 10 years. Right, way before I got into Fakeology. And
even Epstein Island was a prop, though.
Yeah, it was, of course.
I think so.
Of course it was. These things are props, but Mossad, by way of deception, is their logo. They don't want you to know. There are guys contriving famous people and getting info on them to use as power structure.
But they don't get caught and they are never on TV.
They get caught if they are pretending to die. And he pretended...
All intelligence services are connected, by the way. They are not separate. It's just the...
They're cooperating and working together.
I can give you an arm-length, long list of people that were implicated in those kind of scandals. And for some reason, you never hear them about them on the news or anything like that. So my personal opinion, and I don't have much to back it up, obviously... That it's all a scam. It's just to appease the masses because everyone knows that something is happening.
Well, that's Madoff is also the fictional character.
Madoff made off with the money.
I am friends with someone that was in investment banking in Geneva. And at the time, I wasn't that awake as I am right now, but at the time, maybe 2010, 2009, at the time I asked what was up with this Madoff situation and if the guy had any money with Madoff. And the guy confessed to me that apparently something like 8% of his global portfolio was with Madoff. And he said that if he had the possibility, it would have been more, but that everyone was suspicious of what was happening. But the point was that having some money with those people, the Madoff, it was a sign of wealth and connection. But no one was really getting all their money into that system because everyone that was serious kind of knew that it was a scam. It was just a scam that was so popular that you had to be in on it.
Yeah, but he's just a figurehead. They steal money, but that dude is not the brain.
Oh, yes, my point was just that there was a financial organization bearing the name that was receiving investment money. But to the reality of that character... I'm sorry?
Yeah. So maybe it was
he's in the limelight, so the real people you can't see.
Definitely. Both of his sons died.
To build regulation.
Yes, exactly. And one of his sons killed himself, and the other one died rapidly of cancer.
Yeah, they use these operations to make laws, like the Titanic was used to regulate the radio waves.
Apparently, they are remaking the Titanic in China, by the way.
They were remaking it over here at one stage. They were thinking about doing it. Some rich billionaire idiot was going to build a replica of the Titanic.
I don't think the ship ever sank, by the way. They just put another name on another ship. An insurance scam.
Remember, the predictive programming of the Titanic was... There was a novel that got released 100 years before. Was it 50 years?
Yeah, I know.
But one of the person that has the best information on the Titanic is Gaia, sadly enough.
But no, it scares people from traveling as well.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah, they had enough newer arrival of slaves in the States. They had to shut the pipeline to Europe. Yeah. Yeah, I'd filled it up already. Yeah. I had enough. So.
What was the name? What was the name of the novel though that came out 50 years before? It was called The Wreck of the Titan. And there's a novel called The Wreck of the Titan.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was published in the 1800s.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And also the Titanic, the ship, sister ship.
I don't think there ever were a Titanic, by the way. They just put another name on the ship and filmed it and sent it out to sea and returned with original name.
Well, once you see, what's his name? The guy that directed the movie, the Titanic, that did all the big movies.
James Cameron.
If he gets involved in something, there's something you're being told. A story that you need to ignore.
Well, it's fascinating that you say that because his last great success was Avatar, which is about
and guess what?
It's about the Agenda 2030 Avatar.
Yeah, and guess what they're doing in New Zealand right now? Avatar 2 and 3 back to back with they're all the same stars. It's going to be the biggest budget movie ever, or sequel and movie.
I don't think it is expensive to produce because it's mostly CGI. So
green screen. But what they do with movies is launder money.
It's a total scam.
So they say
they set up a trust and they set up a corporation and they can launder money.
Yeah, then they can launder billions of dollars. It's a Mossad thing. I hate saying Mossad, but by way of deception, just remember, if your logo is by way of deception, then you need to understand you're being deceived about a lot of your...
But they are upfront about this. All it is...
Yeah, they tell you. They tell you. Their logo is Mossad.
HB or
MI6
or CIA or whatever.
By way of deception. Yeah. Yes. And
I once saw a real-life Mossad agent. When I was doing my time in the army, we had to protect the consulate of Israel, and we were with full gear, so assault rifle, ballistic vest, everything. And we saw this guy. He came once, twice, three times. And the fourth time, we noticed that he had a bulge under his shirt. So we were kind of worried, so we called the cops behind the radio that we had. And they said, no, don't be worried. That's the Mossad agent. It's normal. He has a weapon. Everything is fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, I had a friend back about 15 years ago. We were at a party, and I seen him, and he had on his leg a tattoo of the phoenix on his leg. And I knew he was an Israeli, he'd been in the military. And I said to him, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Oh, that's something from years ago." He didn't elaborate, and then I realised. Because after I found it, things he was saying about what he was getting up to, he was an ex-Mossad. And he had the tattoo was a phoenix coming out of the ground with I don't know if you've ever seen a phoenix tattoo.
Probably a parachute.
That's their that's their logo, though. That's the logo that I was with. And he'd said he was in the Israeli army, but he didn't... When I said, "What does that mean?" He goes, "Oh, that's just something I did years ago."
Yeah, I met a guy that was in Lebanon during the 80s. And that he was in Lebanon for the Israeli army during the 80s.
Yeah.
But you can see in his eyes that he regretted saying it and he never ever mentioned it again.
Oh, yeah. This guy
is got Fake Cake here.
Hey,
Fake Cake is here. Ask him if he can do laundry on Sunday. He's in Sweden.
Can
you do laundry on Sundays?
What I want to meet is a Swedish woman about at least 10 years younger than me. It's got to be
me too.
Out there,
so. Who doesn't?
Mm. Yeah. Maybe you've got a wife. Shut up.
So what?
I don't have any interest for Swedish women that I know
of. I do.
But so do I.
But I do. Maybe with immigration, they get what I want. Who knows?
I have spent some... I've done some research.
Would you be interested in a black Swedish woman?
Me? Absolutely. I don't care. What about... Now, are we... I'll talk here. What about Ireland?
We know. We got to ask Fake Cake about Sunday laundry. Go ahead, Fake Cake.
I was told by a guy he can't wash on Sundays. Do you
want? I don't understand what's this about laundry.
Can you wash your clothes on a Sunday in Sweden?
It was a few years back.
And he was the thing is running. That it can be true in the sense that it can be forbidden by the person that are how can I say that are administrating the building. Maybe it's in the interim document that you are not supposed to do laundry on the Sunday.
I ever did.
That's
possible.
It's not the law.
I'm sure it was Switzerland. He lived and he said you can't. It's illegal to do your washing on Sunday. But anyway, he was a fuck. Yeah, anyway. Doesn't matter.
Not that I care about the law.
Move on.
We got on. Yeah, no problem.
But he actually was the, back in my anti-feminism days, the guy that started up the Anti-Feminism Australia Facebook page, which got up to about 50,000 subs before it first got deleted and everything. And I was in on that, like, from the beginning sort of thing, when I was sucked into the whole left-right paradigm and everything. But he was the one that told me about that. Like,
well, Fakak, do you know any attractive Swedish woman about maybe between 38...
You need to ask him, does he know any ugly ones? What?
No, I don't want ugly ones.
They're all attractive. No, they're all attractive is what I'm saying.
Oh, I think so.
There is a thing to ugly girls. I must say. That is a thing with ugly girls.
They try harder. Why don't we ask Fake Cake? Ask Fake Cake. He's in Sweden, for God's sake. Fake Cake, fix your mic.
Hello. Do you hear me?
No, you might. No.
I'll come back a bit later.
Come back with a good-looking Swedish woman.
As with every time I hear the guy, I want to have a podcast with him. I really want to.
He's good.
One of my life goals.
God.
He's good in the accent. I just love it.
He's got a real Swedish accent. 100%. I had...
You mean he's really from Sweden?
Well, listen.
Did you wash on Sunday?
My second Swedish girlfriend was the first bus driver, female bus driver in Stockholm in 1982, I believe, and she was beautiful. And
where were you? Were you in Sweden?
No, here in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hang around this particular bar that I knew was full of Swedish backpackers, and. I got outdrank, and I'm a good drinker, by Swedish girls. They outdrank me 100%. They can drink.
Wow. Where do they put it?
So she took advantage of you?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Was she a big girl? Because big girl can drink like a lot.
Yeah, one of them was 6'1". Yeah, you're right, though. They were very tall. Very tall girls. Yeah.
Without being too rude, the quantity of blood that one body can contain.
Well, these girls were big Swedish girls, and they outdrank me schooner for schooner, Fosters for Fosters. They were drinking Fosters.
It's not even Swedish, it's Swedish Dutch. Like, there are some big, strong women. Like, yeah.
I've got no problem with big, tall
women.
Okay.
It's also a question of liquor. Some people can stand hard liquor, I can stand whiskey.
These girls were drinking beer. It was beer for beer, and they outdrank me with beer. And I'm a Kiwi, and I thought I was good, but nah, these girls were... Because apparently alcohol was really expensive in Sweden back in the day.
What's your Kiwi beer, Rick?
Probably still is.
What did you drink in New Zealand?
It was DB. I drank Dominion Bitter. Bitter.
Yeah.
And 3.5%, it's water compared to even Aussie beer is at least 4%.
What about Spades? Have you heard of Spades?
Yeah, Space is South Island, fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I did a tour of the brewery, Space Brewery. Yeah. I think it was pretty funny. It was amazing, but it's like one of the world's last gravity-fed breweries. So they load everything.
Oh,
on the
man,
top
the
and it
New
comes
Zealand
down.
Beer
well,
is top class.
I shouldn't say
top
gravity. I need to change that, but yeah, going down. I do because that pulled me up at ages ago because we have the low pressure hot water in the ceiling and they're just called gravity fed because it comes down, but they're not gravity fed. Like there. Anyway, go on about New Zealand beer.
Guys, I've got to disappear. I've had too many beers, so been wonderful chat.
Yeah, it's been a good chat.
Yeah, and
thank you very much.
Jan Eric, good man.
Thank you, Sir Rick.
Good
Sir Rick.
Yep,
that's been good.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
What happened to cirrhosis?
Cirrhosis.
Cirrhosis.
Who's that?
That's
Jan Eric going.
That's a play on words.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I might not be the best public for play on words being a non-native English speaker, so sometimes they just flew over my head.
You got it, though, didn't you? You got it.
That one long. I got, yes.
Thank you, Rick. Well, we got a few people listening. We got, what do we got tonight? We've got New Zealand listening. That must be, maybe that's Rod Jenkinson, big fan. We've got Adelaide, Australia listening.
Well, that could be, is that through your website? You can get this?
You can listen to, this is for anyone who is listening to the download.
But I'm saying, like,
if you
can listen to the live
you can listen
through,
to the audio chat live. At fake11.com/radio2 or fake11.com/stream2.
And I have that link and I listen to it often, but is that what you're referencing now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Ah, might be Kane, my mate. So.
We got Paterson, New Jersey listening. I don't know anyone in Paterson, New Jersey. And
a mate of mine that I am. Worked with a little while ago. He's left, but he joined the Discord server, and that. But he's never spoken on there, and that. But that could be him. It has been him before.
Yeah,
but it could be
we
somebody
got the
else.
United Kingdom. United Kingdom is listening. We don't know who that is.
It's probably Queen Elizabeth.
I guess that's typo.
Oh, that's typo. Probably right. Yeah, you're right. And we got Rolo listening.
Rolo.
Rolo's IP is 220.233, etc.
Hi, I'm Chad from Northern California.
Hi, this is Errol C. Naeem.
Rick from Port Macquarie.
I'm Eric.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
In other words, we got to put on a show because we got people listening.
Well, okay. What can we talk about?
There's nothing happening.
I need to do some more investigation into the whole. It's funny because last year in Victoria they did the whole $1,600 fine, and now in South Australia it's a $1,600 fine. I just wonder what the whole 1,600 number is. Well, obviously you've got a six.
Yeah.
Up, but.
Well, over here it was 880. 88 is a very, very important number to the Chinese.
Yeah.
It's super big. So that's,
yeah,
to me, that's the only reason why you'd pick such a crazy offbeat number, 880. But recently, I think they're just jacking up the fines to scare the people. I don't know if some of the numbers are meaningful at all, but.
I was watching that, the Netflix Son of Sam series. I think it's only four episodes. And there was a street name that came up. They just showed one of the green street names in America, and I cannot remember what it was. It was some sort of Masonic reference. I'm going, that's a bit interesting. And then during one of the episodes, they've shown the 33rd Street, like the green street sign that says 33rd Street. No talk about it, nothing, you know. Like, they've just shown it, and they're going,
yeah.
Well, fucking hell. It's just that obvious, like, you know. Because there was nothing, there was nothing said in the actual show about somebody lived on 33rd Street on Yonkers or wherever it was, the Bronx or whatever. They just zoomed on this 33rd Street and everything. And then there was another one before that. So the thing is, you see it so much, you start to dismiss it.
Like, oh, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere, but you sort of don't acknowledge it as much as you should. Like, you should write it down. But it's just like, now it's become commonplace.
Yeah, it always has been.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole Masonic thing is, yeah, pretty flawed.
I don't even know if it's specifically Masonic, but...
No, I agree. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
They've incorporated it into their... into their architecture and into their beliefs. But 33 is just a very, it's just one third. It's just a very easy fraction to bring up a number. But it is amazing that the people that make our numbering systems, for instance, temperature, for instance, the number where you have a dangerous level of sugar in your blood, they make the numbering system, they start with 33 and work around it, because it doesn't make any sense that water melts at 33 degrees. Zero makes way more sense. The metric system makes way more sense, that that would be a very even number, and obviously zero is a very unique number among numbers. Why would they pick 33? So clearly they picked that number and worked around it.
Yeah.
Because zero Fahrenheit doesn't mean anything. That number is just super cold.
Yeah. What's his name? The X-Factor guy. Oh, I get the weird name. I can't think of it, but he did the whole five-hour revelation on the Masons and all that sort of stuff. And what's his name? Well, he's got some weird name. But yeah, he did the whole revelation. He says the 33 is, it's got to do with the Bible, like the 33% of the age.
Well, there's 33 vertebrae.
Yeah, I know, I've heard that as well. He's saying it's the 33 angels that fell to earth, like the,
The number's obviously seen in the future as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's there for a reason. It's there for something. But, yeah, I've never heard of that one before, that it's the 33% of fallen angels, like, sort of stuff.
Right. Well, that's one-third. And that's the two most common fractions have got to be a half and a third.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Half, third, like quarter.
Jesus's age is 33, which not a lot of people know. Like, and I'm not saying they're there. I'm just saying the 33 comes up. Sort of, and then it's obviously it's the highest degree of Freemasonry and all that sort of stuff, so.
Yeah. Hey, we had Forrest Value was here earlier. I don't know, I guess he left. How about Fake Ache? Do you want to try your mic?
Can you fix it?
Fake Ache, open up your mic.
Hello?
Yeah, try out your mic now.
Yes.
You sound like you're on Mars. Give us the Swedish update for the week, please. Fika Eka.
No, he's not coming through.
No. Who's left in the chat, Johnny? Or who's left in the room?
You, me, Benoit. Fake.
Hello.
Is that Fake? You're connected now. Now you're working. We can hear you.
We can only hear you when you're talking, though.
Great. And do you hear me clear?
Yeah.
With telepathy. Yeah.
I think you're breaking up.
Yeah. Maybe I should just listen, because I don't think I have that good connection. But It's sunny here in Sweden, and I would take a bath now in the ocean.
No, we can hear you now. We can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah.
Coming
we got
through good.
Some 24 degrees, and so I'm
Oh my God,
the beach.
24, it's a heat wave.
Yeah, it's coming.
How
up.
Warm is the ocean? What ocean is that?
Swedish ocean?
It's, what's it called? The...
is that...
Östersjön, I guess.
Is that the Baltic Sea?
Maybe.
He's going robo again.
Bad connection.
Yeah. You shouldn't have your mobile phone in the ocean.
Yeah.
But how warm can the ocean be at this time of year?
It's warm in the air, so it's good to take a dip. Yeah. And then,
so it's not cold. It's not cold when you get out.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm not laying.
What is the temperature?
I have no idea. I bathed for the first time last weekend, and it was it was not cold on the feet, but it was kind of a little bit cold to throw yourself in the water. But
yeah.
If it's warm in the air, that's no problem, I think.
No,
my cutoff is about, I think 18 Celsius is when it starts to hurt, when it's that cold.
Yeah, I should think it's no more than 15 or something.
Oh, 15 is painful. You can't even stand in that. It's like standing in, it's the same feeling as standing in boiling water. It just burns. I don't know how anyone does it.
But you should be used to the cold in Canada as well.
Well, I don't swim in the cold. I don't think anyone's ever used to it, but I don't swim in the winter. I'm not one of those crazy people.
What were you discussing regarding the Swedish people before?
We wanted to know if you could do laundry on a Sunday, because Johnny's List in Adelaide, Australia thinks you cannot.
We can. You think about the Sunday in religious terms, or?
No, I was told by a guy that lived in Sweden, Australian guy, that there was a law that you couldn't do laundry on a Sunday.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe if you live in an apartment where you share the...
Oh, okay. That's probably what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've experienced that too. But of course, you could use your machine if you own it, so to speak.
Yeah.
But when I was a little boy, some say 40 years ago, we didn't do much on Sundays due to it was
really
being
day.
Sunday. Yeah, so yeah. we didn't mow the grass and stuff like that. We didn't want to disturb the neighbors.
The day of rest. No, it's a day of rest. Day of rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all that has more or less fizzled out since 30 years ago or something. We don't care.
Same here. We didn't even have Sunday shopping. Shopping was illegal where I live.
Yeah, no.
Same in Australia. It was Saturday till lunchtime, and then everything shut.
Yeah, yeah.
Thursday night was late night shopping Thursday night, and that was it. Now everything's late night shopping.
Yeah. Our grocery store had open between 9 and 11 on Saturday, and that was it.
9 and 11, there you go. Yeah, it's a good idea. You know what? It's still a good idea. It's still a good idea. But
yeah,
do
absolutely, absolutely.
It is. But now they want us consuming. They just want us consuming 24/7. So,
yeah.
It's like the whole Christmas time. They're out in the shops up, you know.
Yeah.
24 hours for a week or whatever they got, you know.
Just goes to show.
I think that's eventually the way it'll go. I think the shops will be open 24/7, but, obviously the shops will be the online.
Yeah, and you don't need any personnel, because you just pick up the stuff and get credited yeah. with some tip on a grocery.
I went to a Target in Adelaide, but a little while ago now, and checkout operators, but when they give you, normally give you an option, they'll give you one or two checkout operators and the rest is manual. And this is over a year ago, and there was no checkout operator. There were two guys standing there and directing you and that. And I just looked at him and said, mate, I don't know how to do it. So he did it all for me. So I might as well have a checkout operator. But people don't realise.
Oh, that's bad. I'll stand you.
Oh, you're breaking up a bit. That's all right.
Well, pretty good call tonight, Johnny's List.
It's been good. Are you still working at?
Yeah.
What time is it there?
7:56.
In the AM.
Yeah. What time is it there?
9:30. Said they're not.
Well, how could it be 9:30? It's got to be. Are you guys on a half hour compared to say the rest of Australia?
Yes. Yes, I'm half an hour behind. I'm half an hour behind Rick and Rollo.
Half an hour. They have a half hour time zone in Australia?
No, Western Australia is 2.5 hours behind me. They're 3 hours behind Rick and Rollo.
Why do they make a time zone for half an hour? That doesn't make sense.
I know, especially when it's fucking flat, like, you know. I'm sure it's all done. The eastern states are the primo states, like Melbourne, Sydney. Everything revolves around them, like, you know. Whereas I'm in Adelaide, Northern Territory, which was directly up from us, Darwin, and that, you know. But, yeah, the whole world
revolves. They actually have a half-hour time zone in Australia. That's bizarre.
Oh, no. Yeah, they have a half hour from South Australia to Victoria and New South Wales, but it's from me to South Australia to Western Australia, 2.5 hours. So,
yeah, but the point is, you have a thin time zone because it's not going to be as wide as a 1 hour time zone.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up on the map because we have Newfoundland. That is a half hour time zone. It's the only one I know of in North America.
Yeah.
Because the island of Newfoundland sticks out a little bit too far east to be in the eastern time zone. But look how wide our time zone is. The eastern time zone goes from... Oh, sorry, that's wrong. There's an Atlantic time zone, too. But anyway, our time zone is pretty wide.
But is it because of the whole ball thing, or... You're listening to David Weiss. And I'll find that stuff quite interesting.
I don't know. I don't think it's just based on lines of longitude. So if you believe, I don't know if the lines of longitude, I guess they still work on a flat model, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I find it quite interesting. The whole thing.
How David Weiss, there are still people going on about it, but it's not catching on anymore. It's not,
he's all over
not
the
a talking
place,
point.
Nah, he's all over the place on all these channels and...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Are you listening to David Weiss?
Oh, I do follow. I sort of follow, listen, whatever. But, I don't... Well, I haven't got on to David. I got on to him probably reasonably recently, a year, 18 months ago sort of thing. But he's around pushing the same stuff all the time and massively and that. So I don't know. But he's quite interesting to listen to, but he does the same sort of thing over and over again. So you can only listen to it so many times. But the whole flat earth thing to me, I found it a few years ago, but never looked into it. But the last couple of years, year or two, whatever, I do find it quite interesting. Like, because if you weren't told you're on a spinning ball and you walked out your front door and had a look, you know, if you went by your own perceptions. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just find it interesting he's going on about it. Has there been any new revelations? Is there any...
No, it's the same stuff over and over again. Yeah, he talks about NASA and all that sort of stuff, like, which is all the stuff I've seen about NASA and that, being full of shit and all that. It's the same sort of thing and that, over and over. He was on William Ramsey's show a couple of months ago, which I found quite interesting because William Ramsey, I don't mind. He's quite good, as a lot of people, but he sort of got triggered by, David Weiss and was quite sort of...
Oh, that would be interesting. Give me the link to that show. Put it in the show notes for me. Maybe I'll take a listen.
Yeah.
On your advice.
I was just a bit, because William Ramsey's pretty good. Like, he might be this or that or whatever, but he's a good interviewer, but he got kind of triggered, you know, and I'm sort of starting to think, is David Weiss just part of the whole flat earth psyop triggered thing? Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's a psyop or he's a whatever, but he seems to get the same response wherever he goes. And then I'm listening to William Ramsey thinking, you're supposed to be a lawyer, a smart guy, all this sort of stuff, and you're just carrying like a bit of a dick, you know. He seems to get the same response wherever he goes, is kind of what I'm saying.
Well, no doubt, David Weiss is a good speaker. He's a very smart guy.
He's very good. Yeah, definitely. But I will search for that. Yeah. No, he does. And
he can meet any challenge.
Yep.
Anything someone says to him, he has
an
argument
for it. So you like him, Matt. You're a flat earther, is that what you're saying?
That doesn't mean that.
No, I know it doesn't, but I'm asking.
Am I? Oh, I thought you were drawing the equivocation.
No, I'm
a baller. I'm a baller skeptic.
I wish there was more info,
but that was my point. It's been 6 years. We haven't got anywhere.
Yeah.
We haven't advanced. I know that those that rule over us, they don't want us to know, so that's why we still don't know. Even with all the people questioning, we still don't know.
I totally agree. Yeah.
We're still given fake space stories. Now they're feeding us Mars crap, which is even more ridiculous.
I know.
Mars is beyond ridiculous. Do we know how far do they say Mars is? Because they say that Earth, that the Moon is 283 million.
Million.
Is it million? No. Not. What is it? 283,000 miles away?
I think it's million, but I don't know.
No, it's not million. The fake station is 400 miles up. Satellites are 17,000 miles up. None of these numbers are possible.
The fake station, every 90 minutes, it spins around the Earth.
Right, sure it does.
And they send a whatever you want to call it, a rocket up. And, it reaches out with an arm and grabs the supply ship. But we're spinning.
Yeah, it's all Star Trek. It's all Disney.
Well, we're spinning at 24,000 miles an hour. Rick and Riley a while back. I was listening to the guy, you got your Bill Nye. We've got this Australian guy on the ABC free-to-air radio and that. And he was talking about a while back about how the polar ice caps are melting. So the north and south polar ice caps are melting. And,
well, that's part of the global warming.
Yeah. But because they're melting, because the world's spinning, the globe is spinning, the water levels at the equator are rising massively. Because we're spinning. So it's not just the melting, it's the spinning are causing the water levels at the equator.
They've always said it bulges in the middle. We're not a sphere, an oblate spheroid because of that. That's the whole...
I've never heard the bulge thing.
Yeah, story. Oh, yeah. They say that because that's where you, at the poles, you're not spinning at all. Yeah. But at the equator, that's where you go the fastest. See, these are the problems I have. These are the things that are make it seem like a lie to me, the ball Earth. These kind of statistics. And doesn't it mean if you're flying at the equator, you'd have to move faster in a plane to catch up with the Earth?
Exactly right.
But then they say the Earth, the plane is within the Earth's atmosphere, so the plane is dragged with the Earth. And see, that story doesn't make me confident about the ball spinning ball at all.
Yeah. And I just can't, being a plumber, I just can't fathom it. Like, it's just that water curves. It's just ridiculous. Like, because when we lay a sewer drain for 100 meters, and we lay it at 2%, 1% full. Like 2% is like 20 mil every meter. So we lay it at that, but you don't allow for a curve. We've laid drains far more than 100 meters and everything, but there's no allow for the curve. So you're saying we can just lay it at whatever, and then gravity solves the rest? It's bullshit, like absolute bullshit. Like, I know we're only talking hundreds of meters, we're not talking thousands of meters, but it's just, yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, cause it only takes a small smidgen in that drain, like percentage in that drain, like whatever, and it won't run. Like, but gravity's going to take care of the rest.
I never thought of that. So if you're laying sewer pipe, it has to be at 2%. That's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, well, it was. It used to be at 16%, and that they upgraded to 2%, which is 20 mil every meter.
It was 16%? So that, if it...
Well, it was 1.6. So now it's 2%.
Oh, 1.6. Oh,
yeah, yeah, 1.6. And now it's, they upgraded to 2% because...
Why?
Less water in the toilets. Less water.
That's why I was going to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the less water in the toilets, does it make people flush even more, do you think?
Oh, the whole thing, the toilets don't make your business go to the main drain. It's a load of crap because your showers and everything flush your drain, you know? So, like, in your main drain, like you, yeah.
Okay, hold on a sec. So if you flush the toilet, how far does the waste go down?
Well, it depends on what you've eaten, but it might...
No, no, I meant, okay, if it's a very solid waste, and here we go, the potty talk.
It might not get...
How far does it go?
It might not get to the target. I haven't measured it personally, but...
Where's the target?
Well, the main drain in your street.
Oh, I see. Oh, I got it. So... It wouldn't get down to your basement. It wouldn't get down to the main drain in the street.
No, okay. Probably not. No, but your showers and everything flush your drain and everything. They get it going.
Okay. So the showers would get it going. I see. I gotcha.
That's what flushes your drain. Yeah, yeah, sort of thing. So the load.
I never knew that.
Yeah, they tell you all about, you got this toilet that flushes 3 liters less than the other toilet, but you go and have a shower, you know, and use 100 liters. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's just, yeah. Like IPS, I do agree with the IPS with the whole recycling. It's the same thing. It's all just communism, you know. Like, huh? I've got a toilet only does 3 liters. Yet I go and have a shower and do 300 liters. It makes no difference. It's ridiculous. Like,
okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. We should take it. Maybe in the New World Order, we'll have to take a sponge bath. That doesn't use much water.
No, that's probably right, if you're lucky.
That wouldn't even use more than a few liters. As a matter of fact, you could put the sponge in the toilet. You could put it in the tank.
You could.
Yeah.
They're already working on all that sort of stuff, the recycle, the everything. That's kind of fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Part of the Agenda 21 SDG, Sustainable Development Goals. I hate that word, sustainable. But anyway,
Yeah.
They're going on about recycling water in a house. Do they call that grey water?
Yeah, grey water here is your shower, laundry water. Yeah. It's not
recycled.
So
they want that water recycled. And they have projects where I live where they're doing it now.
Yeah. Well, here in South Australia, I've done a tour of the big sewage works in Bolivar in South Australia, and they're just recycling everything. And it's only getting pumped onto our vegetables and our landscape gardens. And, you know, and some houses, some new house developments, they have purple pipe that go to the house and purple taps, and that's for watering your garden. And then they have normal water for your house. And there's stories about the houses getting hooked up to the wrong pots and everything.
I'm a bit of a gadget guy. I like things that sort of make sense. So I have 4,000 liter tank system in my backyard right after the rainwater.
Well, an actual tank, a 4,000 liter tank.
No, I have 4 1,000 liter tanks.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know they have an acronym. They're called IBT. I don't know what IB stands for, but I'm guessing T stands for tank. And it's a very standard liquid storage tank that they use to store all kinds of food and chemicals, and it's a standard tank. They're a dime a dozen, so I picked a couple up.
Oh, IBS, those white things in the metal casing.
Yes.
Oh,
Are they called IBS or IBT?
Something like that. Yeah, I know what you mean. They transport water, chemicals, wine.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see them at construction sites? Because I guess the construction...
Yeah, you know, they're everywhere here. Yeah.
They're either got acid or water in or something in them for construction.
Yeah.
It's probably water, actually, but I don't know what. But anyway, I got four of them. Actually, if anyone's listening, I need a two inch to a half inch adapter for my hose because they have 2 inch spouts on them, but that's no good for my garden hose. So I need two. If anyone's got one or two.
Yeah, the hardware store. You need a 50 mil to 20 mil adapter.
Yeah, we talk inches still here. It's so stupid.
Oh, do you?
We got the...
Okay.
Well, for some things, because we're so close to America, we're still talking imperial measurements for so many things.
Yeah.
It's really insane. See, that's one thing they should standardize. But America didn't sign up in the 70s, and 50 years later... We're still suffering for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you suffering or are we suffering? I don't know.
No. So you have one of those adapters? You can send it to me?
Yeah. No worries. It's called a nipple. You need a nipple. It's a 50.
Okay.
It's like a thread, a bigger thread to a smaller thread.
Yeah.
You screw your adapter onto it. Yeah. We call them a nipple here. Well,
you call it a nipple. Okay, I got it. Well, it looks like a nipple. It's not pink.
Though. Kind of. I might not have one on me at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, can you just bring it over? Drop by.
No worries. Yep. But so how do you link those containers? Like, just through the threads?
Pardon me?
How do you link the containers just through the threads?
How do I link them?
You got the four containers there. You link them up through the threaded connections, so they're balanced.
Yes. You got it.
Yeah.
And one of them has a drain that I can hook my hose up to.
So what do you do with it?
Hey, Johnny's list. Are you still there? Johnny's list.
Rollo.
No, he's gone. He left.
I'm gone, Rollo. I'm not here.
Johnny's list. Can I play with your nipple?
Yeah.
Which one?
What do I do with them? Wow. That's the best offer you've had all day, Johnny's List.
It is. It's all year, mate. Fucking hell.
Rollo always comes up with the zingers.
So what are you doing with your water app? That's what, getting back to my point.
I just water the lawn and water the garden. That's it.
Yeah. Rainwater is amazing for the garden.
There's no chlorine in it.
Exactly right. It's amazing. When I lived in the city, I pumped the water into my lawn and it looked okay. But one rain, the lawn would just go green as green. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I worked it out, Johnny's List. It's $10 of water to fill one of these tanks. So four tanks hold $40 worth of water.
That's 1,000 liters. That's about right.
Yeah, that's what it costs here, where I live. Yeah. Our water, I think, is, even though we live on a lake, our water is pretty expensive from the municipality.
Fucking nice. I totally agree. Yeah.
So,
it's the same here. It's just so expensive here. It's ridiculous. There was a big water thing, this is like 10 plus years ago, and they licensed water, and there's politicians in Australia who own water licenses for properties. They don't own the properties. Not saying that they're fraudulently owning water licenses for properties they don't own, but they commoditized water, and yeah, it's just a big scam, massive scam. And now the Chinese, they own water licenses in South Australia. It's just ridiculous.
I don't know what to think of that, honestly.
It was a massive scam. It's just a massive scam. They did the whole water crisis thing. In South Australia, they built a desal plant because of the whole scam, the whole water crisis scam when they did the whole water licensing thing, and they built a desal plant, and we don't need it.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, so that's what I got the tanks for. They usually only fill up a few times a year. Summer, it's interesting.
That's what you should be drinking.
Well, I'd have to clean it, but I agree.
But if you filtered it or put it through something, growing up in Adelaide City and everything, I just thought rainwater was disgusting. I wouldn't drink it. But I work in all these places. I actually don't have a rainwater tank myself. I live in the country. I'm going to buy one. But my dad never had one. But, I work at these places and everything, and they've got... Hey?
Do you live in the country? Are you on a spring? Where do you get your water?
Oh, no. We're on the mains. There's a massive Morgan Whaler pipeline that goes from the Murray River through to... Yeah. We're on mains water, chlorinated shit water and everything. But I work at all these places that got rainwater tanks, and I drank out of it, and it tastes pretty good.
The problem is the tanks.
I know. The poly tank. They're all poly tanks now.
Yeah, they're going to get contaminated, so I'm not going to drink that.
Petrochemicals, where I think you spend the money, get a stainless, not stainless, a corrugated iron tank, I think would be better than drinking out of that. Iron's a natural sort of thing and everything, whereas the poly tanks are massive. They've boomed over the last 10 years in Australia and everything, but they are petrochemical. So how much does that give off into your water supply?
For sure.
Whereas at least the galvanized tanks are, they're a natural metal, might get something good out of them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I still think it's a good idea. They don't look very good, but I have them hidden.
No. Catching the water is great, even if you use it on your veggies. At least you're catching the stuff out the sky I think
it's a smart idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just funny.
The United Nations comes up with is stupid. I don't even mind what they're doing with the resetting the economy. It's just poisoning people. Why do they have to put that in? That's the part that really irritates me. Why do they got to kill people?
Yeah.
Everything else, I do sort of agree with getting people in a more concentrated area and not paving the entire country with cement, because that's sort of what we're doing here where I live.
But concentrated is more cement, isn't it? Like, I don't know.
Well, you're concentrating, you're going vertical. I'm talking about building houses and just paving over farmland and cutting down forests. I can see why people are against that. I do get that.
Oh, I can see that as well. And most people are against that. Like,
yeah, I know.
We were never meant to live like that. We were supposed to be scattered amongst the forest without pavement.
Yeah, but that's not happening. People aren't doing that.
Hmm.
I agree. We live in unnatural ways, but to put everyone in a 50-story prison going vertical, that's got to be the most unnatural thing to do.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. 100%.
And they're building buildings, so they are prisons. You are not going to be going out of your complex at all.
Yeah.
That is the goal. That's what people don't realize. Your food, everything will be brought to the main floor. It'll probably be butlered up to you, to your prison cell, and it'll be very expensive to leave your cell. You can still do it, but they're going to make it so full of friction, you won't want to leave.
You think that's these big, what do you call them? Remember the place that burnt in England? But the big...
The Grenfell Towers, yeah.
Yeah. You think all those sort of places where their beginning of it, like community housing, like pushing all these people into community housing.
Yeah.
Like.
Yes. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Like I said, they only need our nations for the resources now. They don't need you.
Well, the other thing I was going to ask was the Deagle thing. I'm not sure if it's you or somebody spoke about the Deagle, because it triggered a memory in me that Australia was supposed to be like 13 million or something, but I don't know the year.
Well, it's in 10 or 20 years, 2030, 2050. Yeah. Look it up. It's still
I know. This is just during the week. Because I'd forgotten about the whole Deagle thing and everything. And Australia was one of the countries on the chopping block. But I will look at it. It's just one of those things I've looked at and forgot about. And somebody mentioned it, might have been you or somebody else on one of the...
Yeah, we talked about it.
...during the week. Yeah. And it was like, something like 30 million it's supposed to go back to.
Five Eyes Nation for resources. They only need you to mine the resources. They don't need that many people. And they'll just take them to China and process.
That's Australia's like just a massive... That's coal and wheat. Right.
Well, there is a way that the Chinese won't get us, and that is via their ladies, because they are ugly as possible. They have the body of a 9-year-old boy. So that's the way we are not going to get got by the Chinese.
I fucking agree, Ben. Totally agree. Totally I'm not into it. I'm not down with that.
Absolutely not.
No.
So they won't have me reproducing with anything Chinese during my lifetime, for sure.
I don't want to be horrible about the Chinese, but I've worked in a few of their houses, and they're not even the best housekeepers. So, if they're good cooks and they made a nice lasagna or something, it might be a different story, but,
I'm not the biggest fan of their cuisine also. Not the best thing you can come across, honestly.
What's that?
Their cuisine, their food is quite awful, to be honest.
Yeah, I bet so. No, I agree.
So I know that the China angle is not the rice mixing and everything. It's not the way they are going to approach us. The rice mixing and everything like that, it's for us, but with other populations, not the Chinese. So there is clearly an agenda. It is driven by the Chinese or anyone else to get everyone to be mixed together in Occidental countries. But I don't think that the Chinese have a plan to be mixed with us anytime soon.
Well, the Chinese are the superior race, so. But I had a mate that he was engaged to a Chinese girl, oh, just years ago. But he said, he goes, oh, he's got a problem because she kind of talks like all the other Asian races are shit, and, you know, like the Chinese are the best and everything. And I think
yes,
that, I
it's the
that,
same with every country in the world.
I just think
many ladies from many different countries, and like for example, one of my most recent ex was from the Democratic Congo in Africa. And for some reason, she always tried to persuade me that people from Rwanda were the worst in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, the Chinese, the ancient,
if you ask me, the worst people in the world, they are the Austrians. The Austrians, they are the worst. They are our neighbors, but they are the worst people in the world. If any race could be eliminated from the face of the earth, it would be the Austrians.
What's wrong with the Austrians?
Oh, they did oppress my people for hundreds of years, way back when. We were oppressed by them, and that is the myth of the creation of Switzerland. It was a reaction to the oppression of the Austrian people. So basically, it's inherent to us to hate them, even if they resemble us and speak the same language.
Well,
I just have to hate them.
What people are you? Are you the French? Is it, you're talking about the French or oppressed by the Austrians?
Well, it's more of on the German side, because the mythos of the construction of Switzerland is that each and every canton or state, if you want, joined over time. And the place I am in, Geneva, we were amongst the last to join. It was just by war and extension of the territory, and they joined the Confederation and everything. So it's more something that is for the German-speaking part of the country. But I also have some heritage going there. So basically, I have to hate the Austrian. That's how it is. And I think that's the same for each and every country. And the people that were ruling the place before it was Switzerland were the Habsburg. And I think that we all know here what happened with those people that ended up being inbred and almost unable to function as normal humans. So I think that destiny set the record straight on that. Apparently, they were destroyed by their own inbreeding and the fact that they married between cousins and everything. But if you are to believe the official history of Europe, the Habsburg were ruling over many places such as Spain, Sweden, Netherlands, Germany, France, England. So at one point, they were everywhere, but they fell, and they fell very hard a few centuries after. Even.
Hey, Ben, what do you think of the Queen?
Of the what?
The Queen.
The Queen? What is that?
I'm saying, what do you think of Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, she's probably a nice person when she's not sucking the blood out of newborn babies or something like that. I don't really have an opinion on her. It's probably someone that is just there for the ceremonial part.
We're on the same page, that's all right.
But it would be cool to have our faces on coins and on money and everything. That must be cool.
But it'd be good to be a fly on the wall, with all those people.
I think that it doesn't matter much. Who those people are, really. They are just like I mentioned earlier with the Habsburg, the result of inbreeding, and I don't give much power, really, to those people. Some here will disagree and say that the Queen is at the top of everything. I think she's just a spokesperson, and she's allowed some good worldly commodities for her service, and that's about it.
She's just a bloody... she's just a focal point. Like my poor dear parent, my dad's gone, but my mum's still alive, and I'm sort of tell them about the Queen, and that she doesn't want to accept it, but she's kind of getting it that these people aren't there for your best interests.
Yes, and it's the same with monarchy is the same as any other political movement. I mean, if we were in the USSR, it will be Stalinism. But Stalinism goes way beyond Stalin as a person. So monarchy goes way beyond the queen or everything like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that those people hold that much power. They might have at one point in conjunction with the church, but not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, figurehead show people, whatever. Somebody for us to focus our hate on.
Yes, like the Pope.
Yeah. I mean, the Catholic Church does have some sort of power, but,
Oh, definitely, yes, definitely. I've read rather recently a book that is describing the gay lobby inside of the Vatican, and it's something that is quite powerful, and there is different lobby promoting different things, the gay agenda being one of them, inside of the Vatican itself. So,
yeah.
Of course, there are also some things.
There's the whole age of consent thing with the Vatican being 12 years old. And all of that, but unless you actually look it up yourself, I don't know if it's true or not. Back in the day, you go, oh, yeah, wow, that's right, yeah, you hear it on InfoWars or whatever, but I don't know if it's actually true. Like, you'd have to look it up. Look.
Yes, but he was saying that, Alex Jones, he was saying all type of things that reveal to be true, so I don't know, maybe it's like the monkey with the typewriter thing, that in the end you are bound to say something of meaning.
I mean, I hate Alex Jones now. I hate the strong word, but he did wake me up, and I know everybody says this shit, right, but he did. I remember driving to work, and he had his little, music intros coming, you're cranking up, and I was going to get my dose of, reality and everything, and I kind of liked it. I did,
No, but he had some quite interesting, how can I say that? Maybe it's not even a word in English, but toward different interests. I mentioned it already on this live stream, but he had some interesting guests on. I remember maybe 10 years ago, he had this guy, Prodigy, which is a quite known rapper, on, and they were discussing things that were pretty interesting, so... Not everything is to be thrown away with Alex Jones, I think. It's just that most of it is entry-level conspiracy. And,
yeah, exactly,
and
also entry-level.
A lot of things that people said earlier, and he's picking up on it or whatever.
That's what I was getting at. He was probably my entry-level, And
yes.
I used to like riding, and he'd play an AC/DC song, and then come and chat, and I'd get a little, excited about, hey, he's back again, But, yeah.
Yes. But it's easy to determine where his interest is. Because, like, for example, at one point, maybe more than 10 years ago when I was listening to him, he was promoting silver massively because he had this business with this guy that basically funded his operation in exchange of him peddling silver a lot. And now, I don't know if he still is, but maybe 3 years ago, he was with this guy from something that is called Jeunesse. And Jeunesse is basically a line of health products and dietary supplements and everything. And he was promoting that a lot. So basically, you can discern that the guy is not as sincere as he would be.
Oh, definitely.
He has some financial interests that are backing him.
But what amazes me is they he's obviously controlled information, but that they balance up. Is it worth the risk to control these people, or how many people is he going to wake up? Because, he was part of my wake-up stage. And everything.
Oh, he was a massive part of my wake-up stage.
Yeah, yeah. But they obviously know this shit. Like, they work it out. Like, would they weigh up the odds? Like,
Yes, what really got me away from him is the fake crying. Where the guy was fake crying on air.
That was pathetic, man. That was pathetic. And that was before my time, and I went into the... Yeah, I got pawned into that a few years ago. And when I say before my time, I mean before I was awake. And a few years ago, the crying, that was just ridiculous, man. That was just the most pathetic thing you've ever seen. Like,
yes.
Terrible.
Terrible, but entertaining. there is an entertainment value to Alex Jones.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Tribe.
This is Lost Fighter Fowler.
I'm Nightly News. Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Definitely something entertaining to Alex Jones. Like, as I'm saying, I used to love listening to his little bumpers, like AC/DC
yes.
and everything.
I want to listen to a bit of Alex Jones crying. If you want. So I guess
why isn't the playbot thing? I try to play stuff on the
Why can't you do it, Johnny's List?
It
it's
doesn't
easy.
Fucking work.
How can Ben watch it then?
That is not a question of right, because apparently Spike had a keen understanding of the bot itself. But let's listen
but
to
I
Alex
have
Jones
passed
right.
almost emotional or awakening periods in my life. I realized like a spiritual threshold. And previously I'd cross them every 2 or 3 years and would have like this big come to Jesus moment and could really feel it and consciously see the area I'm going into and the responsibilities. And then last night God just showed me so much and I couldn't even talk. And I do not even feel worthy to be here bringing you this information. And it just absolutely brought me to a place I've never been. To, you know, where God just really says, you want to see the evil? Here it is. Feel it. And to feel what the children are feeling. God Almighty.
He's a good actor.
He's a bad actor, man.
That's bad.
Folks, we gotta get good people to stand up against these people.
Fucking hell. This should be
I probably shouldn't even have done this radio show today because I have this disgusted cover.
It's fascinating.
That's I posted it in the show notes before, but you watched that the Disinformation Company by Matthew North, and it's all about Alex Jones and everything like that. He's a fucking piece of shit. Like, yeah. Absolute piece of shit.
But then he had Chris Sky on last night, and I posted it on safechat.fakeologist.com, and the guys bang on. So what do you do? It's tough.
But,
you got to throw
yes,
that
but
stuff.
I think that, but I think that it's exactly what the plan is. If you get someone that is credible speaking with that lunatic, you know what I mean? There is at least 30% of the general audience that will discount whatever this guy is saying. Because you can always say that he was on Alex Jones.
Yes.
That's kind
but
of...
Alex Jones makes a lot... He gives us a lot of truth. And yes. I don't think there's any pure truth tellers out there. Even me, probably.
Oh, definitely not. But the fake crying. That's what I got to say, the fake crying.
Oh, that was pathetic. That was bad.
See, it says error.
That was very sad.
How do I get to play something on there?
Okay.
Well, I just typed P, and then I pasted the link I wanted to play. And if the bot didn't want it to respond, the video is not available, so apparently that's an issue of copyright
okay.
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me try it, because maybe I'm in the right region. No. Okay, so what I will do is that if I cannot use that specific clip, there must be another one.
So
the exact same one, but so Rod Neville.
And you can use, and Spike was showing us you can use short forms. P, what are the other letters?
Yes, there is something like that. So.
I was only trying to post a bit of Australian humor. It only goes for a minute.
We'll grab the link, cut the link. Copy the link, go to the bot commands, type P,
then
space, and paste the link, and then that's it.
I didn't do space.
You got to put a space.
Space.
The link.
Error occurred.
Yeah, for some reason that specific clip is protected. But like I said, if you can find the same one, but by another uploader, it might work.
Different link?
Trick.
Okay.
try this. Type P space Alex Jones crying, and it'll give you a list of all the search results. And then you would type P space the number of the search result. That's the easiest way to do it.
It's working.
Down the gym there the other day, doing a few push-ups. Oh, yeah, I can do push-ups. Sit-ups, no problems.
That's the McDonald's one.
It gives us great pleasure. Would you welcome, would you put your hands together, a big warm, big one for us?
Yes, yes.
I've got to get out of this banana.
Yeah.
Rodney Roo! More applause! More applause! Oh, the power and the passion. Hey, I got another one. Lindy Chamberlain. How did you make
for
that work?
For some reason, I was not hearing the bot in the beginning, so I was probably speaking over it, and the bot is still refusing to play that specific clip.
It doesn't work. I've been trying that for weeks. It's that one about the head. It's all right. No matter. It must be some sort of copyright thing.
I don't think so.
Some
things don't play in different countries. We don't know where the bot is.
No, that's true.
But in Canada, some YouTube videos are blocked.
No, I get that here. I've heard in Australia stuff blocked on YouTube and BitChute and that.
Yeah.
Which you can circumvent by using your VPN, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not that it will protect your information in any way, but at least you can use a different domiciliation and watch the videos you want.
Hide your identity. Yeah.
I am not using a VPN because I am a cheap person, but I should be. Really, I should.
The VPN gets you around certain things, but never hides your identity. They always know where we come from.
Yes, it's just to have a different catalog on Netflix. That's what most people are using it for in the end. And I remember a time when we had the best bot ever, but for some reason we managed to kick them out. If you remember that time, Ab.
What happened?
Well, the bots were linked with the Tryptamine administrative account, and someone kicked that account out because it was a strange name or anything, and you just kind of kicked the bot out. And we had to resort to Fred. Could you kindly upgrade it to Fredbot Patron, but sometimes he just don't want to respond.
Yeah, Fred costs money, but we get lots of donations, so that covers it.
Yes, and it's not the worst, it's just that sometimes it isn't working. But there is no real better one that I know of.
Yeah, we just got to get it to play other sites like BitChute. I wish they'd put that in our fake or two.
Sometimes BitChute
doesn't
to
work.
Play normally.
It's not
the worst. Yes, but BitChute sometimes it's not the best way to play something. And it's kind of laggy at least on my end. So
I
don't know what will happen with the bot added to it and everything. It might be terrible.
It is worth a try, but I am sadly not believing that it will work in a good way. Because everything is on YouTube server and those are performing well most time. BitChute is decentralized and I don't know if it depends on the availability of the video. That would be great if we can use FakoTube, because FakoTube is your server and we know that they are not overloaded using decentralized things, you know.
Yeah.
But I really lack the technical capacity to write such a code to have a bot that is able to play FakoTube. And it will probably take some doing.
Mark also, so it's way beyond my capacity.
Well, actually, we should get someone to, I should pay someone. I should put a note. Find out where I can pay someone to do it. I'll pay someone to make a bot. That would be great. If you could find someone to make us a bot for FakoTube, BitChute, and YouTube, that'd be great.
Yes. I'm sorry, I will have to leave you because my Bluetooth headset just gave up on me and I'm outside. And my portable loader is also empty, so I will have to head back to the headquarters to continue that discussion. That will probably take me half an hour, then another half an hour to get the thing to be loaded.
Yeah, if you can work on that, that'd be great, then we'll find a bot maker.
Well, I will have to find the bot maker rather than the bot itself, probably, but I will try and see who is able to do that. But if there is an open call on that specific show, we need someone that is able to design that, if that's even a possibility.
Well, it has to be a possibility.
Yes,
I'm just curious how hard it would be.
Yes, and it's like with YouTube, I was really bothered by the ad, and I find an alternative solution that is working 10 times better without the ad. So there might be a possibility, but I will have to leave now because it's not comfortable to hold the phone.
Bonsoir
et à bientôt. Merci beaucoup, à bientôt.
À bientôt. There he goes. That's a real French accent. He doesn't get any more French than that. Oh, and everyone's gone, so I'm going to go too. That's all, folks.